Film Vault.
Yeah,
Film Vault. Welcome everybody to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five movies that feel like homework. Movies you've avoided to this point because goddamn do they feel like work.
This is a new
movie. Supposed to be fun.
New Film Vault. New,
brand new.
I hope we remember how to do it because it's been a while.
I know.
I feel like it's been weeks.
It feels like a long time. How'd you enjoy your week off?
It was nice not seeing you, bud. And you know what? Back to the homework. Aren't all movies like kind of like homework for you, bud?
Why?
Don't they all feel like homework?
Why?
Because it just seems like every time you see a movie, it's like pulling teeth with you.
No, but good movies. Bad movies, I'm all for.
Oh, yeah.
I will revel in.
That's
but
true.
Good movies definitely feel like, it feels like an effort.
I could have easily put like Just Friends at the top of my list, but
stop
I've already
it.
Seen it. So I'm not going to, all five of my films that I have on my Feels Like Homework movie list continue to feel like homework because I have not seen any of them.
As have I. As have I not. As haven't I.
Well, that, okay. Here's the thing with this episode. I realized the path I'm walking down here by admitting some of these things and, little deal that we have where we assign each other films.
Oh.
I feel like I'm giving you five solid ideas here. Therefore, I will not have any also-rans. I don't want to give you any extra ideas.
You need to have the also-rans. Was it hard to find movies, Anderson, that you were...
A little bit, yeah. I went back to lists that we've done in the past, such as Top 5 Most Ashamed to Admit We Haven't Seen.
Mm-hmm.
Also Took Too Long to See, because I had a mixed bag on that episode. I had some movies that I still haven't seen and a couple that I had
and you've
seen.
You've taken way too long.
Yeah, way too long.
To this point.
A lot of the ones that were on my Ashamed to Admit I Have Not Seen, I have cleaned the slate there and no longer feel shame. But you know what? I do feel a little shame talking this far into the program, probably about 2.5 minutes in here. Mm-hmm. Not a single mention here of Tessa.
Oh,
Tessa Elizabeth.
Can I tell you something honestly?
You are such a selfish prick.
You were going to say no mention of groupers. I really thought that's what you were going to say.
I thought you were going to say that you forgot that you had a kid just now.
I didn't forget.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to forget.
Congratulations, Brian.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
That's why we did not have a show last week. That's why I traveled to go meet Logan and do all the reads. And
yes.
Got to tell you, that was painful.
How did she got to
probably felt as much pain reading those ads by myself as your beautiful wife felt giving birth.
Maybe. It probably took about the same amount of time.
Birthing those three or four ads or whatever they were, that was painful. For not just me. Brian, Logan had to feel the pain as well. I saw him suffering as I tried to muster through. I'm not good at reading ads.
I will say that,
Tessa.
Well, she got to meet Uncle Anderson today.
I got to meet her earlier today, and she's a beautiful young lass.
Now you're about to walk down that path yourself. How do you feel? Trepidation.
Oh, I'm about to have a child. We're close. Hey, my phone is on vibrate now.
That's right.
I upgraded to vibrate last week when I went to see D'Antwoord. I said, "Honey, I'll be inside the Palladium enjoying myself some D'Antwoord, but phone will be on in my pocket on vibrate."
Is she okay with you being this far away from her house?
Yeah, she's all right. As long as I'm within an hour.
Okay, that's
good.
True. That's what I say.
Kind of like the TMZ zone, you know what I mean?
The TMZ,
the
30-mile
zone. Yeah, as long as I'm within 30 miles of my very pregnant wife, I think we're good. But yeah, we're about to, I'm just very happy, in all honesty and seriousness, I'm very happy for you and Christy.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, my wife's a little lover, but she's a lot like me where she thinks about the worst case scenario. And for the last several nights now, right before we go to sleep, it is nice that I can finally go to sleep with her too for the first time in years because no love line. But
true.
She's been looking up like stats on people dying in childhood.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what are you doing, honey? We're trying to go to sleep here. She's like, it's a serious thing. People die. I'm like,
well,
yeah.
Around the world, maybe, but not here in the U.S. That doesn't happen very often.
Exactly my argument. She asked fuckhead Surrey, and Surrey came up with some kind of 20,000 last year or some shit.
Which,
in
by
this
the way,
country.
Is a very small number.
But
that's
still,
like rural birth. That's like people who have births in their farm.
Not when you got me laying next to you, and I'm like, 20,000, that could fill an arena. Arena of dead moms.
You know, there's a half glass full thing you could,
All right, so yeah, congrats, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Ten
fingers, 10 toes. She's cute as a button. We're excited, and excited for you as well. Excited to see your, meet your little guy.
Yes, I am very excited as well. Groupersthemovie.com is what
you're giving birth to.
Before we will talk about movies here real soon, because I'm itching to talk about movies with you, Brian.
Indeed.
It's been too long.
Indeed.
But I feel like it'd be gauche not to thank everyone who has been a part of the campaign.
Yeah,
you're doing great
so far.
So far, so very good. As we record this, we're up to 34% of the total that we're looking to get. And so many of you have checked out the video and or shared it and or contributed. And some of you contributed a lot. And anyone who actually just signs up to contribute or even follow, it means so much not only to me, but to the campaign and to the future of the film. So I just want a huge, huge, absolute gratitude. I was very worried going into this thing, as you can imagine, Brian. And, you know, we still got a long way to go, but I'm thrilled to see that so many of you are putting your faith in me and saying, hey, Anderson, we would love to see what you would do behind a camera with an actual budget. So thank you so much. And groupersthemovie.com if you want to check out my little pitch video over there. And,
a lot of perks.
All the perks. We get. And you know what?
What's that?
Brian and I had dinner earlier tonight.
We did.
We kind of
settled.
Talked
a lot about Logan.
We talked to a bit about Logan, Tessa, the future of Atticus, as well as Groupers and Movie. And
your words were, how soon can Tessa produce the show? I said, that is.
We settled on a new perk, which I will be, I guess, announcing on next week's show.
Yeah, let it marinate.
It involves you. It involves Carano. It involves the two shows, After Disaster and Film Vault, going head to head.
But currently, there's a Film Vault specific perk, right?
Yes, right.
I found about this after it launched.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of bad timing with the launch and your child happening the exact same
My child
day,
launched,
Brian.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Yeah. Did you induce the labor?
I did. I'm like, as soon as I saw, like, Groupers coming soon, I was like, Christy, start pushing.
You're like, Tesla coming sooner.
Coming sooner. Now, I realize I'm going to have to see a film and possibly have dinner with some people.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the perks, the one that Brian's alluding to right now, is a Film Vault, Make the Bald Ones Suffer, which is it's pricey.
It's not
$500.
It's not nice.
But we're all going out for dinner and catching a film of our choosing. And
my choosing? Because I would like
our
to choose.
Choosing. Our choosing. No, I don't want to make the listeners suffer. I don't want to make the people that actually get that perk. Oh, what else we need to
Can
figure
I choose
out?
The theater? I'd like to go to the one by my house.
You know what? We can maybe do that one just so people can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, please. That's all I want.
Just so the fine people who. But we're going to have dinner. It's going to be a good, memorable night.
Will you send a car for me?
No, I will not. I'm not treating you like some kind of special person. No. It's not the point of this, Brian. It's to make you suffer. It's so that we can all wax at you about good movies. Oh, it's going to be a good time.
Talk to my agent.
There's also the After Disaster night out with the Pabs. What was I going to say? I was going to say
something.
You're
talking
something.
About night out, having a movie and a dinner and $500.
Oh,
and
something else that we didn't discuss at dinner. Any ideas from the listeners are very welcome, from you or Logan, very welcome. But some people have hit me and they said, hey, I'd love to do something like an experience with the Film Vault as a perk to give some shekels towards the feature film Groupers. But I live on the other side of the country. I live on the other side of the planet. How is there a perk that you guys could make available so that we could do something that live outside of L.A. or who don't want to fly to L.A.? So something to think about.
You have someone be a guest on the show via Skype, perhaps?
That's
a big ticket item.
I don't want any of this to interrupt this here feed more than it already is with me plugging away like this. But we could. Ideas are welcome. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't want someone to have to suffer through like sitting with the two of us.
That is pretty
to
bad.
Get a word
that
in
is,
edgewise.
You shouldn't have to pay for that. You should be paid for that.
Yeah, if you're paying to be like essentially Logan, exactly.
Logan gets paid for that. Sit down.
Be a tough one. Remember they did that with Loveline back in the
what
day.
What do you
they're
think
Logan's
listening to in his headphones right now?
I have no clue.
Something other than us. Right?
Like an old episode of Save It for Air.
Film Spotting.
God damn
it. Oh, you fuck.
You had to name another film podcast.
Never heard of that. What is that?
I don't know what
that is. That's, you know what? While you brought it up, people do accuse us of stealing the top five idea from that show that Logan just mentioned.
Oh,
and
really?
Can I just say.
I've never heard that.
That we were doing that. Not that it's like we reinvented the wheel with top five,
yeah,
but we were doing it before that show existed.
Yeah. If that's something you cling to, that is a sad state of your affairs. But that said, we started doing the top five when we were fucking around in the studio back in
2003.
Was it 02 or 03?
It was 02, maybe. Yeah.
I think it was early 02.
02. I think you're right. It was February 02. You're absolutely correct.
I remember
who was chasing me around the town at that point in my life. It was a cop, an off-duty cop, wanted to kill me.
That's right. I remember.
February 2002.
I remember you pulled up next to him and you're like, oh, I'll put my arm in front of my face. And you're like, oh no,
you can see my tattoo and my bracelets. Oh no. That was a terrifying time of my life.
You got banned from a bar.
Always live your life in a fashion that doesn't elicit an off-duty police officer to want to kill you.
You got banned from a bar that you loved.
I've been banned from a few, Bri-Bri.
Yeah, but that bar because of the cop.
Not the point.
Can I say something funny?
Let's get on.
When you were there's a show out there called The After Disaster, and when I heard someone on there talking about a semi-famous athlete who was dating an ex-girlfriend, I knew who it was.
Oh, do you know who it is?
Because this came up. It came up. I won't say how.
Just to fill in the blanks in case people are lost, and which I'm sure many of them are, I was talking about certain black guys that have freckles that I hate, and I hate that look. And then I traced it back in my head why I hate that look. And it's because in high school, a girlfriend and I broke up, and within a week, she was sleeping with a guy that had that look. And
he went on to
play in the NFL. And I hate everyone that looks like that forever, because that's how I work.
Completely randomly, back in 2002, probably if we're starting Film Vault, I mentioned this person's name, not because I didn't have no idea what the connection was, just mentioned offhandedly, almost as a joke, like, I'm going to mention a random NFL player,
because
he was not super famous, and you're like, I hate that guy. I'm like, how do you even know who that is?
It triggered me.
You're like, I hate that guy.
Yeah. All right, let's talk films. Let's do flick fashion. How far in are we? Like 7 minutes in? No films?
More than that.
What are we in, Logs?
About 10 minutes in.
Not acceptable. Movies, let's go.
So, guys, thank you for all the kind words about Tesla.
What did I just say?
I'm thanking everyone else.
No, we're done. We're
so
done
many people said nice things. By the way, groupismovie.com. We had a live Corolla show in Detroit. A listener came up and said, hey, I'm a big listener of the Film Vault. Enjoy the Film Vault. When do you guys have more t-shirts?
Uh-huh.
I said, oh.
What are you doing? Why are you doing more business?
I'm saying we should have t-shirts.
We're getting a lot of requests for that.
Yeah,
I'm on that soon.
T-shirt talk.
Okay. All right. Let's talk movies. T-shirt talk. Flick Fashion. Here's the segment on the show we call Flick Fashion, which is a greatly named segment on the program.
Greatly.
This is where, it's a fantastically aptly named Flick Fashion. It's the films that we confess.
Let's finally talk some films. And guys, I will not let... I know a lot of guys change, you know, people change, you know, with parenthood, you know, kids stuff starts to creep into their lives.
Mm.
I'm going to keep it 100, guys. I'm not going to start talking about, you know, kid stuff. It's not going to soften me as it comes,
the joke.
Flick Fashions. First... Dora the Explorer, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Look at you just breaking yourself up. you're not serious. Let's go.
Dora the Explorer, the movie is 2012.
Come on, Brian.
No, that's not true.
She's a racist little bitch. You hear about that?
I did not know that.
The girl that does the voice of
really?
Dora. I don't know if racist, but she's a bully and she smokes.
Really?
TMZ.
I have two films to talk about. One is the last movie I saw before I had a child and the first movie I saw after.
All right. So you are escaping it around your child's birth.
I'm a little bit. It's my new defining characteristic.
I have one where quite the opposite of birth. A part of me died.
When I had a child?
No, when I saw a movie.
Oh no. That's right. I assigned you a film. Anderson, you mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, The Beginning of Life.
Yes.
The Beginning of Life.
I did not flick fest this because I don't feel like it's worthy of the show.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it briefly then.
Yes.
The Beginning of Life is a documentary that is streaming on Netflix. It is directed by Estella Renner, and it is all about babies. It's sort of a... Anderson, did you like it more or less than you liked the movie Babies?
Way more than Babies because it was chock full of information.
Useful
tales and whatnot. Babies was just shite.
I might argue.
Babies was, and I know that it's wrong, but I'm sure that a segment of the population watches Babies as porn.
Oh.
Because there's nothing to follow.
Yeah,
it's just babies.
It's just glamour.
It's
just glamour shots.
It's just babies. Glamour shots of babies.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Whereas
The Beginning of Life.
Beginning of Life is, it made me look at babies in a whole new light.
It is more about the raising of children and how children learn and things like that. Anderson mentioned all the information. There might be too much information in this movie because this is the kind of movie where someone tells you literally, quote, we know that babies are the best learning machines in the universe. Now that statement is absurd, Anderson. How can you know that something is the best in the solar system? We don't even know there's life on another planet, and so he's claiming this is the best in the universe.
Some hyperbole. Let it go.
There's a lot of soft science
that we know of in the universe. That's a true statement.
Her statement is: we know, quote, that babies are the best learning machines in the universe.
Are you nitpicking this dumb little movie that is a nice little precursor to parenthood?
I'm mostly pointing out there's a lot of touchy-feely soft science in this movie. There's a lot of dubious claims and things that you cannot be proven.
Okay.
That said, it's an adorable movie. It is informative. There are a lot of things like,
very informative.
I never thought about that way.
If you're like me, and I think a lot of, especially guys who are listening to this, 92%ers, I think it's up to 9% now, or women.
Yeah,
that listen
we're
to the
increasing
program.
Our female listenership. But Tessa was just born, so yeah, now it's 9%. I'm forcing her to listen to it.
The guys that listen, I think, and you guys might be on my side with this. For the most part, when I think of a baby, I think,
Logan, get that drop for when Anderson has his kid.
It's just, oh, great, a little thing that cries a lot and slobbers and pees and poops. Like, there's really not a whole. I like kids once
you got to get ready for blowouts.
Once they're like six or seven, like, whoa. Once kids can, like, you know, talk and, right, you know, can
interact.
I love camp.
Get you a beer.
But yeah, as long as, once they're tall enough to actually reach the fridge, yeah. great. But before that, it's just, and women, they love the babies, right? And they don't really offer much. But after watching the beginning of life, I kind of had a new appreciation, and I could almost empathize with them because the movie's really good at pointing out just what's going on inside that little baby's brain
yes.
at that time. And it was fascinating. And it made me look, from that moment on, it made me look at babies completely differently. And that's a sign of a really good documentary, I think. Something that could change your outlook on one thing.
Good call. I would say 75% of it was that to me. It was about 25%. Giselle is a featured talking head, and she is in the movie a lot. I would get to hear Giselle's thoughts on child rearing.
You think she was a hot baby?
As like as a baby,
probably a hot baby.
I don't know if such a thing exists.
Is that wrong to say hot baby?
I don't think hot baby is something you shouldn't order.
Really have to retract hot baby.
This is 90 minutes long. It's streaming on Netflix. If you like watching babies do cute things and people talk about it in an educated way, you could do a lot worse. So
it's called Babies.
The beginning of life. Stop it. The beginning of life. 90 minutes streaming on Netflix. Check it out.
I was assigned a film.
What'd you say? Oh, you're going best to worst.
You know this isn't a good movie, Brian.
What's that?
Brian, in his infinite wisdom, at the behest of a tweet, sent me off to see Suicide Squad.
Well, it is a
huge movie.
It is a huge movie.
That I had
proudly banned.
Proudly sidestepped, successfully sidestepped, and felt pretty good about myself. I was waking up every morning, patting myself on the back on the way into the shower.
Another day, haven't seen Suicide Squad.
It was one day at a time. Yeah. One day at a time. Hey, do you think any people out there say that they live their lives 140 characters at a time?
I'll bet there's some very clever social media person out there who says that.
I don't like them.
I agree.
Here's the best part of Suicide Squad. And I know a lot of you have seen Suicide Squad, so follow with me. You'll get this. Best part of it was when I walked into the theater and I was thrilled to see that it was totally empty. Soul free, Brian.
Oh no.
That was the best part of the movie. It was all downhill. The fucking soundtrack. Now I got an email
best part.
From a listener. Right after I saw this movie, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, you have to go see that movie. Wait till you hear the soundtrack. And I wrote back, I'm like, the first thing I wrote in my, actually it was the second thing that I wrote in my little notepad here,
right.
was the fucking soundtrack.
Soundtrack's best part.
The soundtrack.
What's the first thing you wrote in your notebook?
The best part was walking in and it was soul free.
Okay, all right.
Empty.
All right.
The soundtrack, now I haven't seen, it's been about 10 days, and in one eye, out the other.
It sticks with you, right?
This movie is in one fucking eye, right. out the other. It is not memorable at all. And I can't even remember the soundtrack and the songs that were upsetting me at the time. But anything that's happening on the screen, you better believe your ass that they did a quick search and they found some popular song that we all know that has lyrics that are explaining what's going on. Because that's
like,
clever,
it's
apparently.
Like, it's like eight music videos strung together.
Where the fuck are the Joker's facial scars, Brian?
Where's the Joker?
The Joker was in there. He was in there for more than 6 minutes.
He was not.
He was in there for maybe
8 minutes.
I was excited because I thought that he wasn't going to be in there for that much because that's kind of what you led me to believe.
Really,
and every time he kept showing up more, I'm like, more of this, more of that, more of him.
Are we to posit this is a world where the Joker like roams freely in a car with like
it's
Harley
Gotham,
Quinn?
Brian. It's all make believe cartoon bullshit. All right. So you're supposed to believe that. Like, and when a movie is as good as The Dark Knight, it's okay. You can forgive it because it's so goddamn well executed.
But the Joker didn't roam freely there. He slunk around and showed up mysteriously in places.
He still
here,
did.
Here, the Joker's like tearing up the road in his roadster.
There was more of it.
Going to clubs.
More of that here for sure. The Enchantress, Brian?
That was the worst.
They purposely did not show the Enchantress in any of that. Yes. I had not seen anything about the Enchantress.
Oh,
and
that was bad.
I would be living my life happily, day to day, not knowing the Enchantress exists, had you not sent me off to this fucking movie. And the fucking crocodile, dude? Really? The crocodile dude?
He could have been so much
better. And I looked up, because I was trying to figure out who played the crocodile dude, and I did a little quick research, and I found the actual drawing of the real crocodile dude from the graphic novels. He looked pretty sweet. He didn't look like he did in the movie. In the movie, he looks like some kind of he looked like he was straight out of that movie Freaked.
He did.
He belonged in Freaked.
A little better
and
makeup.
All of his like urban talk, yeah. Super racist.
I agree.
It was offensive.
It was an unfortunate character.
And not funny. Nothing funny. And I was you could tell it was like he was reading dialogue that was supposed to be funny. It was not. The most asinine plot since Batfuck versus Super Dick, I think. Right? The plot line of this was We have to prepare for if there is another Superman. There's not one yet, but if there is one,
this could happen.
He could be bad. So let's get all the ones that we know that are bad that exist right now and put them together. Because we, even though they show the Flash and they show some other bat fucks and other, why would they get the good ones?
There are clearly heroes. They're clearly good guys.
Never explain why they give a reprieve to all these horrible bad guys that are totally uncontrollable.
Yep.
Just zero. Like they didn't even try, Brian. They didn't even try.
I agree. So what did you like about it?
Super dick.
What did you like about it?
How could so many smart and creative people... I mean, there are so many smart and creative people that were attached to this thing, worked on this thing, wrote this thing. You got to imagine that some of Hollywood's best and brightest were a part of this.
Yep.
How the fuck does this get through? How does the Enchantress and her big brother, looking like they do, get pushed through? How does that happen?
I agree. The Enchantress was the worst part of the movie for me.
Now, it was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours into this fucking monster that it really occurred to me what was going on, especially when the crocodile fuck was speaking his urban language. Right. And there was this weird undertone. And David Ayer, you know, he did Harsh Times. I don't know if you saw Harsh Times, but that's comically bad at times. It's Christian Bale doing like Vatos Locos. And David Ayer has like he has this connection to the street that he likes everyone to know about, right? And he comes from like a hard, rough part of town. How is he from Chicago? I think
David Ayer. I don't know.
He comes from some urban background,
okay.
And he's kind of forcing that on us to the point where it feels candy coated, and then it all kind of clicked, and I'm like, oh, this movie is like when Walmart and McDonald's and all the big corporations get together and they say, we're going to sell this message about all these badasses getting together and they're like on the wrong side of the law and they're going to be badasses on screen. And this is going to totally play well with like the urban community and like the anarchists that are out there.
Yeah,
and
but it's focus grouped.
It's totally focus grouped, and it's the grossest of gross. It's the sickest. It's when corporations are trying to make money off, and I hate to say it, but the dumber people in our society, and trying to profit from on the other side, because everyone who's behind this movie, that's making money off this movie, they are the ones that play the game. They are the ones that are on the right side of the law, and they're the ones that are against everything that the people that they're pitching this movie to are against.
Yeah.
And it's fucking tragic that we allow it to happen. Thank God it got really bad reviews, but this is my least favorite kind of fucking movie it's a Warner Brothers, but that's Time Warner. I mean, it's a giant corporation who's trying to say, hey, you know what? Quick cash grab. We're going to grab a bunch of money from like punk rock kids and kids who are like anti-authority or like urban kids who are like hate cops.
It really resonates with that group. It's really got a lot of stickiness.
Also at this time, Brian, that I went and saw this movie in the middle of the day when I should have been working on other things. My backyard is a flood with bees. There's many, many bees in my backyard, and they've been dive bombing into my baby little pool and drowning themselves. And I've been collecting them and saving them, 30 to 40 bees a day, Brian. And all throughout the movie, I was thinking,
bees or live bees?
I get them out of the pool before they're dead. I'm like on watch. I go out to the backyard every 20 minutes. And I got to tell you, probably 24 times during this movie, I was thinking, you know how many fucking innocent little bees are dying right now?
I feel bad.
Because Brian sent me to this piece of God.
You know, I think we're giving the listeners what they want.
So I get up. And I'm thinking, still, the best part of the movie by far was the fact that no one was in this. So I could actually enjoy myself and speak to the screen.
Sure.
I lost my phone at one point, and I was taking furious, copious notes.
I
lost my phone. I got up, and I was like lighting matches and whatnot, trying to find my, and then I was pacing back and forth at one point, yelling at the screen. Are you fucking kidding me, I say. So I'm walking out of the theater.
You probably missed a good part.
Yeah, I was talking along. It was really enjoyable, though, to be able to scream back at the screen. And I'm walking out of the theater, Brian, and I see out of the corner of my eye, some movement.
Oh, no.
I see one single soul.
Oh, no.
And he's getting up. He was sitting at the top back row wearing a Doyer shirt, right? And I'm like, fuck, I can't believe. I am so embarrassed. And I was thinking about all the things that I was doing, all the things I was saying, and what a horrible asshole I must have been to this guy, right? All he had to do was clear his throat. I would have known when he was there. So I'm waiting in the lobby now, waiting for him to come out, you know, pacing back and forth, going, how is this going to go? And then I'm like,
are you going to apologize to him?
And I gave it a 10 count. He's still not out. So I'm like, fuck it. And I go in the bathroom, and I'm walking out of the bathroom, and I see Doyer come in. See Doyer guy come in. And I'm like, hey, man, were you in that theater just now for Suicide Fox? And he said, yeah. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I thought I was in there by myself. I was yelling at the screen. He's like, oh, no, it's okay. I seen it 3 times already. And I was like, I kind of passed out for a while. I'm like, oh, all right. Target
See?
Audience.
I want to talk target to that audience. Guy. I want to talk to that guy. Did you get his number?
So I'm like, all right, I'm glad that I didn't disturb you, man. Thanks, buddy.
I kind of passed out.
He's seen it. He's like, this movie's dope. I've seen it like three times. I swear to God that happened. I know it sounds like a make-believe story.
You're being a racist asshole.
I swear to God that happened. And it has nothing to do with race. I'm just painting a picture of what happened, Brian.
Wow.
Fucking painting. Suicide.
Painting with brown paint.
Cox. She was good. She was
Margot all right. Robbie's all right.
Yeah, she was all right. Oh, and the bar scene. Really?
That was forced.
God, it's just so insulting. It's so fucking insulting.
But now you can speak about it educatedly.
I don't want to speak about it, Brian. You know how I spoke about it before? Mm-hmm. I'll never see that piece of shit. Next.
But if you never...
That was a statement unto itself.
But if you never see it, how do you know?
I know, Brian.
Well, now you know. Thanks to me. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Go. What else did you see?
I saw a good film.
Babies 2?
I saw a film called Babies 2. Mm. I saw a good movie, Anderson. It's great when you can see... So the first movie I watched... With Tessa, daddy daughter date, had a movie date with a little daughter. She sat on the little boppy pillow.
Not really a movie date, right?
I know.
She fell asleep. House.
Well, thank God she passed down and fell asleep quite quickly because I watched Hardcore Henry.
You like
Hardcore Henry?
You like it?
And boy, did I like it.
Good.
Hardcore Henry was fantastic.
Wait a minute. Good. I'm getting really excited that you liked it. But what does this mean?
What does that mean?
If Brian likes it,
stop it. I like.
What does that mean?
I like some good movies. Written and directed by Ilya Naishuler.
Just say Russian dude.
Ilya Naishuler, a Russian dude. It's his debut film. Charlotte Copley is in this, as well as Danila Kozlovsky and Haley Bennett. And in a wildly distracting cameo, Tim Roth, who can't fucking help himself, Anderson, but put on that terrible accent. Tim Roth has literally two lines. Actually, he has the same line twice in the movie, and he has a terrible American accent. That's Tim Roth is wont to do.
Haley Bennett was also in it.
I said Haley Bennett.
Okay.
And Tim Roth putting on... And by the way, what the fuck is wrong? His character didn't have to be American. He plays Hardcore Henry's dad. Mm-hmm. Hardcore Henry never speaks. There's a cool plot device where they haven't activated his voice chip or whatever, so he doesn't actually speak. So Tim Roth could have been any nationality. It's an international cast. The movie takes fucking place in Russia. Charlotte Copley's like a, oi, governor. He's like an English cockney.
Well, he does a bunch of different
characters. He does a bunch.
A bunch.
And so Tim Roth could have been anybody. But as it was, he chose to be
whatever. What are you doing? This
American.
Is a really good movie, and it's really impressive. And there's so many dares and risks and impressive things in this movie. I'm shocked that no one died in front of the GoPro at one time or another because of all that. And you're hung up on a poor performance by Tim Roth. Come on, let's move on.
Tim Roth's accent was the only part of the movie I didn't like.
Okay, this movie is fucking impressive, right?
Really impressive. And I went into it. This is the kind of movie I go into with preconceived notions. Like I know what to expect. This is going to be. I'm hoping to get some cool visuals and some cool sequences. And I'm expecting to get no character and very little plot. As it was, this is a very inventive movie. A lot of fun. This movie moves. It's got some real momentum. It's a kinetic energy. And on top of that, it has a cool gimmick, which is, if you don't know Hardcore Henry, this is the movie that was the first person point of view, almost like a video game. It is more video game than movie, but it's really
very
well,
first person shooter.
It's really well done. And it gives me a lot of hope for video games being turned into movies someday. Because this is about as good as I imagine
it
gets.
Saw a trailer for Assassin's Creed today.
Not feeling happy about that.
Two separate comic book hero 3-point landings, right? Two
in one trailer. Oh, no.
All right.
Hardcore Henry is told entirely. It's almost like a found footage movie in the way. It's told entirely from the point of view of Henry, who is a cyborg. He's a human android. I don't want to give too much away, but I'll give the premise, which is he's sort of brought back from the dead RoboCop style and turned into a ultimate warrior kind of fighter. And must do the bidding of certain people, trying to get away from certain people.
The plot unfolds.
Actually, I will say that the villain I didn't much care for. The villain was okay.
I really liked the villain.
He was a little comic booky. The look was over the top, but I guess if that's what they were going for, then they accomplished it. It was a bit Blade Runner-y for me.
I liked him. I thought he was funny. I thought he was.
But it's a minor part. It's a minor part of the movie. And he was the actor himself was fine, but let's not get buried in the fact that Hardcore Henry was very surprisingly effective. I really enjoyed the movie. Like it was a fun movie, which you don't see enough of these days.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it didn't catch on and get a little traction and find a little bit of an audience. And I still hope it does. it become like a bit of a cult classic ultimately because it's the first of its kind.
This could be a real watershed movie.
I don't know if we're
going
to see a whole lot more. Well, right now it's definitely not because it wasn't a success. Mm-hmm. And I saw this on the big screen at the Arclight in Hollywood, and it looked glorious. It looked really good.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I was thinking about how cool it would be in the theater.
But not since, and, you know, it was only last year, but not since, it's a huge praise when I say this, not since Mad Max Fury Road have I been so impressed with the practical effects that I was seeing before me. It's like there was a lot of things where I'm like, how do they do that?
Yeah.
Before that, Raid Redemption. Those three movies are the most impressive action movies I've seen in the last couple of years, and probably ever, because I mean they're just getting better and better. And what impressed me is like they didn't lean on the CGI. There were a lot of practical.
Yeah. I'm sure there was
a
fair amount, but it never jumped out.
Much like Mad Max, I think they got away with murder because you know it was an Australian film and they're making it over there in Africa. Mm. And this one was made, I believe, in Russia, right?
I thought it was on because he's Russian and much of the film is in Russia.
This is a movie that I don't think they can make legally here in the States.
They would have a hard time.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see it was just 47% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is a good movie. I
feel
that very
could
comfortable.
Be critics just you know get preparing for like the onslaught of the millennials.
It's also a terrible title. Hardcore Henry is a stupid title.
It was originally something else. Yeah, it was just
Henry.
No,
it was just Hardcore. It was just Hardcore.
It was just Hardcore, and then they added the Henry for a reason. I forget.
Because that's the character's name. But anyhow, I agree with you. I think critics can get up their own asses a little bit sometimes, especially when it comes to movies like this, which are fun, and you should put on a different kind of critic hat when you're watching a movie like this. And let me just touch on Charlton Copley may be a great actor. We might be on the verge of seeing like a great actor
Peter
coming
Sellers.
Into his own. You think so?
I mean, I think that he has the capability of possibly being like a Peter Sellers type.
He plays multiple roles in this movie.
So that lends itself to Peter Sellers. For
and
sure.
He is wildly effective. I enjoy every time
I didn't
up,
like him at all in when I first saw him.
D9?
In D9, District 9. I thought he was distractingly comedic. And I didn't know. That's my main problem with that movie. And I stick with it. Like I was so excited for District 9. And I really wanted to love it.
He was almost an SNL character in that movie.
It was a serious, serious movie with a lot of like serious undertones. And, you know, it was an allegory. And, you know, it was all about the oppression and about the apartheid and all the shit that's going on over there in Johannesburg. And then they got this guy who's like falling over himself, turning into an alien. And it didn't work.
Bumbling around.
It didn't work. Maybe I would like it a second time, but he was distractingly bad. Since then, I've loved him in everything I've seen him in.
In Elysium?
He was great in Elysium. He was fantastic in Elysium. He was great in as Chappie.
Yes.
Chappie. He played Chappie.
If you take the totality now of his short career, even with District 9, I think it's actually turning into a really impressive early career. I'm excited to see more of Charlton Copley.
He looks great in Free Fire. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that.
I'm avoiding trailers.
It's kind of like it's a newer version of Reservoir Dogs type thing. Or it's all set in one scene. It's about a meeting, a guns deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've read about this one. This one seems really cool. And who's directing this one? This was
Ben Wheatley.
Of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the trailer looks really good. Looks great in it, too.
Another movie got ruined for me today with the trailer. Fucking trailers are just so egregious.
Yeah, they are. They gave away a giant
plot point, like a twist in the trailer that I saw today about why people were asleep and then they woke up a little early. Little movie that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Awaken or whatever, the new
they gave it away.
Chris Pratt movie?
Yes. They give away why they're awake.
I missed it.
Fucking trailer.
That's not been paying close enough
attention. Watch.
I saw a movie.
All right, Harker Henry is very good. Check it out.
I saw a film.
What'd you say?
If it was ever questioned, if Vincent D'Onofrio is a greedy person.
A greedy person?
He's greedy.
Wow.
He steals everything.
From whom?
From anyone.
Okay.
He was by far and away the best thing about Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
A movie that I almost banned, Brian. I almost banned it. Because what are you doing? Remaking a 1960s classic, which was already a remake. Yeah. This is the second time it's been remade. Because before that, it was Seven Samurai, of course, by Akira.
Kurosawa.
Sawa. But I saw the old Magnificent Seven. And
good. Should I see this?
This is exactly what you would expect it to be. It's about 40 minutes too late.
Too long.
And you do much better seeing John Sturges' original 1960. And I said,
you're right, buddy?
I mean, this is more Young Guns, I think. Now, Antoine Fuqua directs this one. He's the guy that directed Training Day, or did he? Perhaps it was Denzel Washington. Speaking of Denzel, he's the
lead
in this one. Chris Pratt, who I like him as an actor, but he just seems like a Hollywood actor in a Western in this one. You know what I mean?
It seems like a very slicked up cool version.
It is, and it
which I'm okay with.
It feels like
well.
It wants to be Tarantino, but right. It doesn't have the bite that a Tarantino movie would have. Plus, it's PG-13. ultimately, I would suggest you just pay a couple bucks, stay at home, and watch the original. I know that's an incredibly hipster, cynical thing to say. This movie's not bad. It has its moments. I got to think some of the poor horses probably paid dearly because from everything I've heard and read, it was all practical effects once again. When there were some good practical effects. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the storyline is real simple. This town is being overtaken by a very, very evil man who owns a mining company, and he wants to get this Brian gold. He wants their gold.
Peter Sarsgaard, right?
Peter Sarsgaard, yes. Who does an effective job?
I don't see him enough in movies. I'd like to see him more.
He can play a slimy, weaselly guy. We could have seen a much more weaselly guy in this, I think. But he got the job. This movie's effective. It gets the job done. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. It's 2 hours, 12 minutes. So he's being really cruel, and he's got all these hired guns, and, you know, he's pretty much...
2 hours, 12 minutes is a long time.
It's too long. It's too long.
Because I remember even the original, which I just saw a few months ago, was the middle section...
Did you like the original?
I did, but the middle section dragged, where it was like the entire... I don't know if you remember the second act. It was just them getting to know the townspeople and, like, interacting and playing with the kids, and I was like, all right, I get it. Like, they're bonding.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're a sociopath. You're supposed to actually bond with them and feel for the kids.
Oh, because I personally could get on.
Yeah, you
couldn't.
It. Like, you were just, like, seeing a people playing and talking to children.
I would have liked it. That's right. I this have a hard boring. Time identifying with that. I would have liked it if it was a little more compelling, is all I'm saying.
Okay. That's, well said. That's what I'm saying. But ultimately,
I can't identify with people bonding.
I mean, you could do worse, but this is not a movie I can recommend. This is it's right down the middle of the road, gets the job done. Nothing particularly hilarious about this movie, nothing terrible about it. It's just exactly what you would expect, which in many ways to me is like the worst kind of movie. I'd much rather be really bad or really good.
Well, go
obviously.
For it.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like there was a whole... Now, Antoine Fuqua, he's admitted that this is his favorite movie growing up. He used to watch it with his grandma, and he always wanted to remake it, and he'd been pitching around town for a while. But, you know, if you're going to look for a true remake as well, this is not that. He takes a lot of liberties okay. and changes a lot of things. So that might be good. Some people might like that, and it's a fresher take on this, but it's still an old Western. It's not like a fresh take that's taking place, you know, today. Which would be actually kind of interesting. That'd be actually kind of interesting because Seven Samurai is completely its own thing.
That's right.
And then we have the Western. Why didn't we take it into the inner city? Why didn't we do the
yeah or another country? They're like mercenaries.
The Magnificent Seven, like in Detroit,
like Afghanistan.
Oh,
see, they're like mercenaries. They go in like
you
the
can tell everyone
overrun by warlords.
It felt like everyone was really having a good time playing dress up and making a Western because you don't see many of them. Actually, the last couple of years has been an influx. You know what? You could do yourself better and watch Slow West. Slow West, it's on. I believe it's Fuckflix, maybe Amazon. Fuckflix. We haven't even talked about Fuckflix trying to take me down.
To say no. Say no to Anderson.
Fuckflix.
They're not on board with
Just Goofers. Just for the record, it was my mistake. I should have known. I've been calling. We have sweepstakes going on right now for a Groupers the movie.
Oh, another reference.
And yeah, sorry. But I just want to come clean here. And we've been calling it the Early Bird Sweepstakes, and I am out of my own pocket buying somebody a full year of Netflix. I mean, that's totally legal. I can do that. And I've been calling it the Early Bird Sweepstakes and all the posts and everything. And then I fucked up and I was half asleep because I'm pretty thinly stretched for time at the moment. And I put Netflix Sweepstakes by mistake. And I think that's what caught their ire. Anyways, long story short, I was threatened by Facebook and a certain company and to fully pull down my page. A lot of my team members who, God bless them, they've all been doing such a great job. And I felt really horrible because a lot of them got threatened. And some few people, actually, their accounts were suspended for a couple hours as a result. So the sweepstakes is still going on. But we're not calling
the Netflix sweepstakes?
No, Brian. No. Just early bird sweepstakes with some perks that I'm going
to
throw in.
Because I got an email to call the Netflix
sweepstakes. But Fuckflix. And the reason why I call them Fuckflix, it bears repeating, right?
Sure.
I love them.
Now more than ever.
I hate most companies. I love Fuckflix. I've been on board with Fuckflix since 1999 is when I first signed up for them. I was in film school.
What you'd call if you didn't like them.
I love them. And it's an ongoing joke. It's not even that funny. But I started calling them Fuckflix on the show because I realized that every single episode we do, I was giving them plugs left and right because I was watching so much shit through Fuckflix. And I'm like, until they actually, buy some advertisement, I'm not going to say their name. I'm going to call them Fuckflix, which is...
Well, that's funny for you.
It's funny for me, and I get a little delight every time I say it.
There you go. Sniff. Donald Trump all of a sudden? Sniffing?
Did you like how he was biting our style?
He's going to pass upset, right? We should send him a cease and desist.
Let's not talk politics, but Howard Dean, how unfunny are you? Really? It was such a hack joke. Did you notice he's sniffing a lot? Cokehead? Question mark? Was it even Cokehead or Coke User?
Coke User.
Coke User. Could you be any nerdier? Coke User?
Also,
you know what? He said that in his living room, I bet, and it got a few chuckles from the idiots that he was sitting with, and he's like, I'm going to tweet that. I'm going to tweet it. That was a good one.
Yep. I'm back on the scene. Dean's on the scene.
Are we even going to do a top five? Why don't we save the top five for next week? I mean, God,
one, you we've done a full up, episode. Catch up and do, we haven't done a single ad or Amazon or anything.
We've done a full episode.
We have. How long are we in, Logan? Is this too long?
An hour long?
40 minutes.
Ooh, that's about a long episode.
About par for the course. You know what, I'm going to save my third movie for next week.
Your third? That's a smart idea because I don't think the actual top five is going to take that much time because we haven't seen the movie.
No. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Coming up next.
But next week, here's a little precursor for next week. A little pre-fashion. Pre-fashion? Pre-flex-fashion?
Pre-fliction?
Pre-fliction? I like that.
What if I told you two guys that, you know how there's What if I told you two guys? You know there's a dog show every year, right? What do they call it?
Westminster Dog Show?
If I told you that they have something on par, right along the same lines, but not for dogs, for chickens.
I did not know where you were going with that.
Documentary, Chicken People. I believe it's in a few theaters right now.
Chicken People?
This one a couple weeks ago. Delightful. Love Chicken People. We'll be talking about Chicken People next week. Documentary.
Chicken People.
Chicken People.
Coming up next, top five movies that feel like homework. Football season.
Football.
I know this because many people.
You know this.
I know this.
Tell me how you know it's
not
football
because
season,
of the football on my television every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Saturday.
It's almost like an all week thing there.
It
right?
really is. The only days I don't have it are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Friday is for high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And Saturday comes late.
Saturday comes late, and there's college, which I consider. By the way, college football now every goddamn night of the week.
Isn't there Friday night? There's going to be Friday night. It's just a matter of time before it's 7 nights
a
week.
Yeah, they're creeping. Yeah. Everything. Hey, football things were bought by people all across the Film Vault land through the Amazon click-through banner. Someone got people purchased hats and shirts for the Tennessee Titans, the Seattle Seahawks, the Washington Redskins, the Denver Broncos, also the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Diego Padres, as well as a Detroit Lions sleeper for infants. Baby blue.
Do you think the Redskins stuff goes for cheaper now that it's not licensed or they can't trademark it anymore?
Oh, I doubt that very much. Because the logo is.
No, the logo's not.
No, the name might not be, but the logo
No, the
is.
Logo, they've de...
I don't think you can... I think I Brian, the there's logo an entire... domain.
First
I think
of all,
the name, Anderson, is de trademarked.
No, the logo is not protected anymore.
Really?
Anyone can do whatever they
all
like.
Right.
There's an entire South Park episode about it, plus just true.
Hey, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Don't maybe.
Hey, you could be right.
Stop it with you your maybe.
Other things purchased.
God, it's demeaning.
On the AndersonandBrian.com.
I just want to pop your dad head. Just pop it.
Amazon banner, which exists at the top of AndersonandBrian.com, include... If someone got a digital backup camera for their car that like is a separate thing you can attach, like a lot of cars have it, but if you don't have one in your car, and it's a, by the way, I could not live without mine.
Like aftermarket.
It helps you park
so
easily.
Yeah, you can't drive. You're like a woman.
You know exactly how close you can get when you're backing up. If you're in the red, when you're backing into like a spot, it's very helpful. Get the digital backup camera.
I've never used one. I've never had the opportunity to use one.
No, it's just how close you are to the red.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
of ladies can drive a lot better than Brian, so I'm sorry for that misogynistic.
An HP Pavilion flagship laptop PC, an Apple iPad, the Retina display was purchased, fourth generation. 6 internal solid state drives are purchased. Thank you for outfitting your office and or home office through us. A Samsung Galaxy Tab was purchased. Someone reloaded their Amazon gift card with $300. Thanks for doing that through us, you guys. Someone got a condom sampler pack, Anderson, called the Big Kahuna. This includes Trojan Magnums, Cautionware Grande, Trustex XL, and One the Legend. These are extra large condoms, sampler pack. It's very important. A bed restraint system in black with eye mask and bondage restraints with cuffs and ankles for wrists.
Jeez, we got some freaky listeners, Brian. Bless you. You think that's a fetish for anyone? People sneezing, it's just my thing. That's what gets me
I'm allergic to hot sex. Also included, a 7.5-inch big black dildo, flexible, realistic, huge dildo, black penis with textured shaft, strong, sudden suction cup.
They should really have one of those little Amazon
But why does it say for women? That's sexist. That's discriminatory towards gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Or guys who want to experiment.
They should have one of those Amazon buttons for those.
A Fitbit Blade.
Right?
A dash button.
Yeah.
I've run out.
Yeah.
Please reload me. A Fitbit Blaze was purchased. The Thing movie poster was purchased. A metal detector. That's, I would like, when I'm an old man and I have nothing to do with my life, I want to get a metal detector up and down the beach.
Oh, I thought you meant like one of the big ones that you put in your doorway.
Airport, no, like the one you go up, the wand, the stick you open down the beach with.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're great. Like, I found something, another penny.
A 14 karat white gold engagement ring was purchased. Good luck, my friend. A 1 ounce Jello shot mold was purchased. An R2-D2 hot air popcorn popper. A Zoom portable recorder, and as well as a heavy-duty rock tumbler and a Sony PlayStation 4 500 gigabyte bundle with Call of Duty.
Way to
Black Ops 3.
Way to hit that post, everybody.
In black.
Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I saw you.
I have a child.
Birdman was clicked through, as well as Bonfire, The Vanity. It's a very misunderstood and misrepresented
I heard that was terrible.
Brian De Palma movie. That's kind of the conception out there.
Right.
Everyone believes that it's terrible. No one gave it a chance. It's not exactly what De Palma wanted to make, but
okay.
It's worth giving a shot.
Based on a wildly successful book.
Terribly misunderstood movie. Braveheart was also clicked through, as well as Captain America Civil War. They're fighting each other. Casualties of War. Someone's going on a Brian De Palma tear. Casualties of War was also clicked through, as well as Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Last Ark. Pop Star. Never Stop. Never Stopping. The Dark Knight. The Dream Team. Unforgiven. Untouchables. Apollo 13. Blood Simple. Children are Mad. Conjuring 2. Cube. Yes, Cube. In Brews. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Master Commander. Why? Resurrect Dead. Mystery of the Toy and Bee Titles.
Why?
Shadows. The Iron Giant and the Nice Guys.
Ooh.
As well as Westworld. What about Bob and Zootopia? Zootopia is still one of my favorites. I can't say it's my favorite movie of the year, even though it might still be my favorite fucking movie of the year. And it's the end of September, Brian.
Zootopia is very good, but it's nowhere near the best.
I've seen it twice and it holds up, movie. Man. It's I got to see Green Room again because I can't look myself in the mirror liking Zootopia more than Green Room. But right now in my little brain, that's the deal.
Yeah.
That's the case.
Get back to us.
Let's get back to the program.
Hi, I'm Gigi Allen, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Welcome back to the show. Time to talk about some movies that feel like homework. And these are movies, they might be great movies, they might be very enjoyable movies. But to us, we're avoiding. Mostly because they just feel like an assignment.
Now, I came up with some that are just really big movies that are embarrassing to admit that I haven't seen.
Okay.
And I'm using that term a little bit loosely, Brian. A little bit of a double entendre, because maybe they're not all big. Maybe they're just long.
Oh.
Maybe they're just big-ass movies.
I will say that I went back and looked at my list, like you. We did an episode a while ago called Top 5 Movies We're Embarrassed to Admit We Have Never Seen.
Brian just said all movies.
Most movies. All good movies.
Mm-hmm.
But we also did a companion episode called Top 5 Movies We're Proud to Admit We Haven't Seen.
Oh.
Remember that?
I don't remember
that. We did
it
back to back.
No.
It was good. But I'm proud of myself. I've knocked off.
You know what one of mine would have been?
What's that? Suicide Squad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. Do you feel any shame at all?
What if you put it on
any
Top
guilt?
5 Movies you waited too long to see?
I'm not going to say
Suicide
that.
Suicide
Squad. Oh. Right. That's not even funny. Do you feel any guilt?
No, because... As one who hosts, you're the host of 1.5 movie podcasts. You should really...
1.5. I felt a slight. I saw it. It was recognized.
You should really see the big movies.
No, I shouldn't.
You should, especially...
That's not what this
especially
show is
when
for.
One of your movies, one of your movie podcasts
this
is
show,
explicitly about like, I don't know, see every movie that comes out.
No, I like to think of this show as a service, and I like to help people how see movies that they otherwise
can,
wouldn't.
How can you authoritatively say it's a service when you can't authoritatively say this movie's good and this movie's bad?
Because when it's a giant movie that there's a giant studio out there doing that job already, I don't need to... And enough people have already said it's terrible to the point where Logan didn't go see it and he was all pumped about it. There's no service. I'm not doing a service by just talking shit about somebody else's work. It's not service, Brian. It's not helping anyone help. I guess some people might enjoy hearing me angry.
I think people were entertained.
I would much rather have spent that time watching a smaller movie that's actually really good, that gets no help from any kind of outside sources, and say, you'll really enjoy this one, and it's streaming on the old Fuckflix.
Okay.
Would have been much better than saying, yeah, I watched something that everyone else has seen, all the mouth breathers. I got to stop using the mouth breathers because I'm getting a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people with nasal problems that are very...
all right. You know what? Jillian and I watched a little murder porn here and there, and this poor kid, he got railroaded.
Murder porn?
Murder porn,
yeah. 48
and
hours.
He got railroaded, and exactly, 48 hours, and he was like committed for a crime that he didn't commit because why? They got him to admit it. They got him to confess to it, like they do after like 9 hours of just leaning.
Yeah.
And he was breathing through his fucking mouth the whole time. And the poor guy was like, he was just not smart. And I said, that's a mouth breather right there. It's not his fault, but he would go see Captain America willingly and happily.
Mm. His last wish was to see Suicide Squad.
He got out. Thank God, he's a really nice kid.
Spoiler.
He probably went straight to go see Suicide Squad.
How are you going to celebrate? You just want
to see Suicide Squad, and I might fall asleep in the back.
Hope no one covers my mouth.
Go.
Top five movies that feel like homework.
I felt like I was just real mean. I don't want to come off as being mean. You make me angry, Brian. You make me mean. Number five. Go ahead.
Number five for me.
I got a whopper for the number one. So
really?
You start off.
Okay. Number five for me.
I can't believe that we did one top five proud to admit.
Yeah. We're proud to admit.
I don't like the idea that that's out there.
Why?
Because you have power.
What do you mean? Oh, movies that are on your list?
Yeah.
Well, I could track that down.
I wonder what yours were.
I'm telling you right now.
You realize, though. Also, we'll get on with it. Here we go. But listeners are already finding me links that play Srpsky film.
Stop it.
Serbian film. And it was coming, Brian. You get to watch it with a newborn in the house.
Can I tell you?
That's what's happening to you.
This was.
You're going to watch newborn porn with a newborn in the house.
That's not appropriate.
It's not at all. But that's what you brought onto yourself.
I'm going to have to get a babysitter for that day.
And I'm going to make sure that you watch the actual version that I saw and not the cut version where you don't get to see the newborn porn. You were going
to
be watching
There's an uncut version.
I actually, Diana Vandekamp just sent me a text out of the blue a couple days ago. Please don't make Brian watch Serbian film. It's too much for him. He can never unsee it. I'm like, exactly. I can never unsee Suicide Fox.
I'll tell you the sad part is I'm looking at my list of top five movies I'm proud to admit I haven't seen. Yeah. And this was October of 2010 that we did it. And sadly, I have seen my number one since then. I've been broken down and forced by the wife to watch Dirty Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen Dirty Dancing.
It's not that bad.
I never had any intention to see it. And I saw it.
It kind of goes down smooth.
It was everything I expected it to be, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now you know the baby in the corner reference. And he's pretty sexy in it with his coif. Go ahead.
All right, number five for me. Is a film that clocks in at 193 minutes.
Ooh, it's too long.
From 1965. How much crossover, by the way?
Probably zero, bro.
Okay. 1965. I've never seen, I have no really desire to see Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago.
Zhivago.
It's good.
Yeah, but is it just go down easy?
Yeah, it goes down pretty smooth. It's one of those movies where you want to think it's good. Kind of like we were talking about, Logan and I were a couple weeks ago, Singing in the Rain. Like, you would think that it's not good, but it's got a compelling enough story that you're into it. However, it's not that memorable. But I remember not like watching the clock a lot, because I just caught up with that one like 5 years ago.
Okay. Dr. Zhivago, 1965, directed by David Lean, starring Omar Sharif, Julie Christie, Geraldine Chapman, Rod Steiger, and Alec Guinness. Nominated Anderson for 10 Oscars, won 5, although not Best Picture, by the way. Lost 2. Any guesses?
What year?
1965. A movie you've definitely seen. A well-known movie.
Gigi.
The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
193 minutes, like I said. That's 3+ hours.
Earned
$111 million in 1965 when adjusted for inflation. It's the 8th highest grossing film of all time.
Huh. Adjusted for inflation. That's impressive.
On Box Office Mojo, they
I wasn't. I can remember, actually, I was watching a friend of mine's house. I was babysitting her house when I watched Zhivago.
Mm.
Popped in the VHS. No, I was house sitting, Brian.
Oh, that's right. I thought I said babysitting. Sorry.
And I watched the Dr. Zhivago on like an old bulbous TV too, and it still held up.
Really?
Still enjoyed it. Yeah.
This actually, after you adjust for inflation, only 8 movies have actually ever made $1 billion, and this is one of them. This is one of the 8 most popular movies of all time, as judged by ticket sales.
Well, you should see it then. You ever seen Sound of Music?
Yeah. I have seen.
The Von Trapps.
Actually, that's
real dark, real fast.
That's one that I would like to go back and see, because I saw it as a kid. I think the last time I saw it was probably 10 or 11. I'd like to go back and watch it with adult eyes.
My number five.
Mm-hmm.
This is contemporary. I'm getting contemporary here because it belongs on the list, and I admonish myself every day that I think about it, which is pretty much every single day that I'm on the old fuck flicks over there, and I see it because it's just sitting there mocking me, Brian. Gaspar Noé's Love. It's just right there.
Okay.
2 hours, 15 minutes. Of course, it's Gaspar Noé's fourth film.
How can you not seen this?
I've seen all of his others. I've even seen his shorts, his music videos. I've seen everything Gaspar's done. And I was all for this one until I heard an interview with him and his filmmaker and the people that made the film with him and his actors. And I think it was with Elvis Mitchell. I heard an interview somewhere, and it was just Gaspar Noé, of course, director of Irreversible. And after that, Enter the Void, which was all POV, which was very impressive. Not as good as Enter the Void, but very impressive. And he does have some sexual elements to his work, to say the least.
What?
And Love is, from all accounts, all love and sex. And when I heard his lead actor saying that on the first day, Gaspar Noé was trying to get him to come in onto the lens of the 3D camera, it's like, I don't need to see 3D porn. Just I'm going to see him. It. Mm. It's just 2 hours and 15 minutes of evocative sex. I know I'm probably going to really regret it once I do see it. And I regret not seeing it for so long. But right now, it just every time I'm like, what should I watch tonight? It's number one. And I'm like, ah, not tonight. And I feel horrible about it, Brian. But I need to see it.
Yeah. You love Gaspar.
And then you're going to see it.
Oh, then I'm going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
But apparently there's a 3D cum shot, and I don't know if I'm really ready for that. I don't know if I'm ever going
to
be
ready. Do I have to wear 3D goggles? Do I have to wear goggles?
I'm not going to watch the 3D version, Brian, because I have an aversion to 3D. But
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Love. It's my only contemporary pick, but it is long.
Okay. Number four for me.
It's embarrassing to say that I haven't seen that. It hurt.
1956. A classic by any measure, supposedly, The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is directed by Cecil B. DeMille, legendary Cecil B. DeMille, starring Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, Ann Baxter, and Edward G. Robinson, nominated Anderson for 7 Oscars, including Best Picture. Mm-hmm. It lost to Around the World in 80 Days.
Ooh.
220 minutes. You've seen this.
I've seen both, yeah. This one is not good. This one is not fun. 220 minutes. This one is dry
as
fuck.
3 hours and 40 minutes, including intermission.
Yeah. It's a long one. David Lean doesn't know how to make a short film. This is a long, long film. Mm. And I don't remember really enjoying this one at all. This is one of the ones that I choked down when I was younger because I was trying to see all the big titles.
Yeah.
Don't
try
remember
to knock
much
off the
of
AFI list.
Yeah. I don't think this was on the AFI list.
What?
Maybe.
Must be. This grossed $65 million in 1956. Just for inflation, Anderson, it would be the 6th highest grossing film of all time at $1.1 billion in adjusted gross receipts.
It's funny, though, because today people wouldn't see that with today's prices. They would choose not to see it. Like they did, like they chose not to see Ben-Hur.
Mm. You know that was not a good film, supposedly.
Well, I'm talking about the remake.
Right.
Well, or yeah.
I'm saying the reason.
I'm just saying you adjust for inflation, which I really appreciate, and that is fascinating. I'm glad you're doing that. But if you adjusted for taste,
oh, I see. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'll look up the whole list. So at the
you don't adjust for taste?
No, I'll look up the whole list of the Box Office Mojo list, and we'll reveal the entire list.
We don't ever do Box Office.
No, but the adjusted for inflation. That's interesting.
Yeah, okay, Michael. God damn it. Number four for me. This one comes in at a. Rousing 2 hours, 24 minutes.
Oh, really?
2 hours, 24 minutes. Get this, though. Not black and white, but sepia, because that was kind of in vogue in 1927 when Wings came out, Brian. Wings, the first
Wings
movie to ever win Best Picture, has not been seen by these eyes. And that's shameful. The log line on the old IMDb is 2 young men, 1 rich, 1 middle class, who are in love with the same woman, become fighter pilots in World War I. See? And I have never seen that. Okay. And Wings has been taunting me for years and years and years, Brian. Ever since I learned of, you know, when you're starting to get into the Academy Awards, when you're a little movie nerd, you're young, and you're like, hey, every year a movie wins. Oh, when did this begin?
I got to go back and see them all.
1927 is the first one. Wings is the very first one. And I never, ever saw it. And I still haven't. And I have shame. And it feels like homework.
And here we are.
Wings. Fucking taunt me. And I know, just 2.5 hours of my life, and I could like have that off my back, but it's an albatross, Brian. And it weighs heavily on my neck. You done typing over there?
I am. Typing in Wings.
Let me
my
hear
list of movies for Anderson.
Stop it. That would you used way too many letters to spell
I
that.
Really do. Wings.
All right, what are you? What
coming
you
up next.
Oh, really?
We're talking a little bit.
Oh, yeah, breakdown. Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll get into more movies if you like homework after this.
New sponsor, bro.
Yeah?
Indochino.
Is it Chino or Shino?
She knows.
I'll say Chino. Indochino. Indochino. I'm going to say Indochino.
Indochino.
Yeah.
They are a suit company, Brian.
Yes.
Fine clothes.
They're bespoke. They make them quite right to your measurements. You don't order them off the rack. They don't send you a shirt that might not fit or a suit that might be a little short.
There's
for your
no
arms.
Guessing. There's no guessing here.
Let me tell you something. You can Part of growing up,
don't start anything with let me tell you something, please.
Part of growing up is like not wearing an ill-fitting suit to like an interview or a wedding or your uncle's blah 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 or a bar mitzvah. He's wearing like a suit that fits.
Fits proper.
You're right around the right part, like a suit that's measured for
Ryan's rarely right, but he's speaking the truth there. And here's how they get around that. You can either go in and get measured like you would, or they send you the tape measure and you put it up online.
They have 9 North American locations, so you can actually go there to the showroom and pick out all your stuff and get your measured and do the whole thing. Or if you're not near one of them, which you probably aren't because there's only 9, you can measure yourself at home. They send you tape measure. You can measure all your measurements and send them in and get yourself a bespoke suit.
The idea of buying a suit is like way above my pay grade. I have a hard time figuring out like if this is the good place or the bad place. How do I do it? What do I do? And they answer all your questions for you and they take care of you right here. So this week, listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering TFV at checkout. That's a deal for a suit.
That's a big ticket item, but it's half off the normal price for a made-to-measure premium suit. And guys, a made-to-measure suit is the way you want to go. Plus, shipping is free and satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back.
That's Indochino.com, promo code TFV for any premium suit for just $389 plus free shipping, like Brian said.
You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Indochino. Oh, it's time, Anderson.
Football.
Yeah, are you ready?
Football.
Are you ready for some football? Can we say that? I don't think we can say that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. I'm ready for some football.
Are you?
Yes. It's football season.
Right.
DraftKings is where you go to play 1 week or even 1 day fantasy sports. Everyone's in a fantasy league. Are you in a fantasy league this year?
Football.
Logan, you do fantasy?
Yep, 2-1.
Really? You only have the one team?
No, I'm 2-1.
2-1, but just the one
victories
team.
Victories versus losses.
He's right, like the Rams. Just the one team.
Yeah, I only have one team.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, who's your biggest player? Who's like your marquee player?
Probably Antonio Brown.
That's a pretty good player. Did you draft first?
I did. I'm a defending champion, so I got first round draft.
Now, if Antonio Brown goes down,
I'm screwed.
You're screwed.
DraftKings.
If you're in DraftKings, Antonio Brown gets injured, hey, it's a tough week, but you're right back in it next week trying for a share of $1 million or more, depending on what week you're playing.
It's like a marriage with an annulment.
Ooh, well put.
A little bit.
Well put.
Yeah.
Don't wait, you guys. Get to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this week's contest. Enter promo code TFV.
Play the bald one.
Play me at Bald Brian and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code TFV to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Welcome back. Anderson, guess what I found?
Your dignity.
No, that still is lost. But I found your list of your top 5 movies you're proud to admit you haven't seen.
So your dignity is still long gone if you're going down this road. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the movies you're proud to admit?
Oh, I can't wait, Brian. Please.
This is as of 2010. So the movies are a 3-way tie for number 5. They were all part 3s. The Matrix Revolutions, Spider-Man 3, and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Seems kind of weak. That seems like weak.
You never saw Matrix Revolutions?
I've seen it since.
You have?
Yeah. Flick fast it.
You know what? It's not.
Brian.
I cannot say it's a good movie. There's a handful of good things in it.
That's every movie you've seen, pretty much, Brian.
Number 4, The Fountainhead. Is it The Fountain or The Fountain?
It's Fountainhead.
No, but I'm saying, was yours supposed to be
Fountainhead? No, I saw The Fountain and I pretend that it doesn't exist. That's Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain. Mutton Chops.
Then why are you proud?
Because The Fountainhead is my favorite book of all time by Ayn Rand, and I don't want to see the fucking old movie. It's going to make me think of the book differently. I want to keep it pristine in my head.
Number 3 is The Terminal.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the decision. I don't know.
Actually, I feel very good about it.
I don't know if I should be that proud about not seeing it. It's not like it was up
number
for,
2.
Awards.
Yeah, I'll bet you. You know what? I'll bet this, if you've changed anywhere, this is it. Number 2 is a tie between Gone Baby Gone and The Town.
Yeah.
You never seen The Town?
Guess what? Guess who forced me to watch both of those?
Me?
Somebody who thinks he's real clever. Yeah.
Well, I know I'm clever. Is that me?
Look at you. Yeah, I saw both of those fucking pieces of shit.
No, that's
they're,
a good.
They're both okay. I can tell you that they're both better than Go Fuck Yourself. I can tell you that.
Number 1 is a movie we have to see soon, Pearl Harbor.
Brian, you realize you have newborn porn entering your home.
And how much worse? How much worse can it get?
My number one.
What if you actually?
My number one
what if you actually
is so much
hand
worse.
Delivered
Brian.
Me like a snuff film.
Today's number one is way. I have one. I have a movie that may or may not be a snuff film.
Oh.
I flick fested it.
I would never
show.
Make you watch Pearl Harbor. I was not very good. I would actually make, you know what I would do? I would assign you to like track down on YouTube, like just the scene at Pearl Harbor. The rest of the movie is terrible.
Okay.
But that scene is pretty compelling.
My number one, because I always have to have a couple in the chamber, Brian. Okay. Right now, you just know. Just start mentally preparing yourself now. Serbian film is entering your household very soon.
But what about Diana Vandy?
You might want to go like actually check in the hotel and watch it so not to sully your family.
I could be put on some kind of list if they find out what I'm doing in the hotel room.
My number one, I can tell you, way worse. My number one today.
Really?
My number one today.
Oh, no.
I've mentioned on the show before, but I had not gone into detail. Let's go. What's your number three?
Maybe off Matrix Revolutions.
See, even just saying that makes me want to like push at the top of my queue so I can hand deliver you the discs.
Number three.
Discs.
Discs. Plural. Plural. This is not TV Vault.
Go.
Number three. This is a movie you've spoken ill of in the past. I don't plan on seeing it. Finally, I can help it. At 3 hours and 45 minutes, Lords of Arabia feels like homework.
Yeah, people love it. I'm kind of by myself on this one, and I realize actually I've had debates with people as to why I hate this one. But yeah, I didn't like Lawrence. I thought he was an I don't like Peter Lawrence. O'Toole. He was like a upscale. Bratty, you have to like your protagonist, especially if you're going to spend 3 hours and some odd
45 minutes.
Yeah, it's
222 minutes.
I saw it actually at the Cinerama Dome, and with the intermission and all.
Wow.
And that didn't do the trick for me, Brian, because he was the kind of person that I hate. Actually, you might like him a lot.
Why?
He's like well-to-do, and he's kind of out of his element. It's like a fish out of water.
All aspire to.
He's such a cunt. It really was.
Lawrence of Arabia from 1962 is directed by the aforementioned David Lean, who, you're right, does not make short movies.
He doesn't know how.
Peter O'Toole, Alec Guinness, Anthony Quinn, and Omar Sharif. Nominated for 10 Oscars, won 7, including Best Picture. Like I said, 222 minutes. It earned $44 million in 1962, which is equivalent, Anderson, to $479 million in adjusted box office.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. You know, I gotta think that at the time, no one had seen a movie like this, perhaps this grand in scope.
It was quite long.
Shot outside in the desert like this.
That's almost inconceivable. Mm-hmm. Right, number three.
I misspoke earlier saying that David Lean did the Ten Commandments, which is ridiculous.
He did Zhivago, and he did Lawrence of Arabia.
Zhivago, yes, that's right.
He did do Zhivago.
Yes. Ten
Commandments? No. Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil B. Demented.
You know what's funny? For a guy named David Lean, his movies are fat. They run
very, that. Very well discovered, Brian. Number three for me. This is probably going to cut. Also, during the break, I realized that I had no idea, but my movies get longer, each and every one. They just happen to land that way. But each of my movies, Love is my shortest.
As do mine.
Love is my shortest. And Wings, so with the whole homework premise here, what do you want? What do you not want? If you knew you were going home and you had 4 hours of homework, that's fucking schlock.
Yeah, that's the last thing. Something could knock out in 90 minutes. It'd be preferable.
If you knew you had 2 hours and 41 minutes of homework, that's fucking bad in itself. I'm talking about Sidney Pollack's Out of Africa. It's kind of out of left field. Has Out of Africa ever been mentioned on this here program?
No.
The reason why this is on my list and why I feel like this is worthy is because this is the 1985 winner Best Picture. And the next year was Platoon, which is a movie that I saw 13 times in the theater.
So is Out of Africa the most recent Best Picture winner you have not seen?
Well, number two is.
It's not Out of Africa.
No.
Have you seen Out of Africa?
I've not seen Out of Africa. It's a homework assignment, Brian, that I don't want to assign myself, and I don't want to see.
I got to write something down.
Mm-hmm. Brian, newborn porn.
Out.
And I will find something worse.
Of.
Stop it. Look at how proud you are. 20th century colonial Kenya. In 20th century colonial Kenya, a Danish Baroness, plantation owner, has a passionate love affair with a free-spirited big game hunter. This is starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, both of whom I have no problem with. I like the two of them, but the idea of them frolicking in the African grass does not make me feel inclined to watch.
Did you skip your number three? Because I thought I went first.
This is my number three.
Okay.
You asked me a question. I said no. My number two is that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Number three is very that. Tripped up.
2 hours and 41 minutes. Out of Africa. Winner of Best Picture 1985. A movie that I have yet to see and I probably would like to never see. Directed by the late, great Sidney Pollack. That's all I have to say. Sidney Pollack. A little piece of trivia. Mm-hmm. He took Harvey Keitel's spot after he was fired by Stanley Kubrick in a movie called Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah,
that's right.
Sidney Pollack took over that scene.
Pollack.
I'll say Pollack. He's dead now.
Mm.
He's no longer with us. He also did The Firm and Tootsie.
He did. He had a storied career.
The reader. God, I hated The Reader so
That feels like homework.
You never saw it, did you?
As you can tell, all mine are classic films, but there could have been, I could have done a second list of movies that, contemporary movies that feel like homework. And The Reader, not interested.
Sidney Pollack didn't direct The Reader. It was Stephen Daldry.
Okay.
Stephen Daldry, but fuck The Reader. So what?
Fuck The Reader.
She was the worst.
So what? She read.
Yeah, so what? Big fucking deal. She also killed. She's also a Nazi.
Ooh,
fucker.
Spoiler alert. All right. Number two for me. Of the movies on my list, it's funny, as the movies go up, they get longer, but they also get movies that I'm actually kind of more interested in seeing, which means they feel like, if it's a movie I'm more interested in seeing, the fact that I haven't seen it this long, what?
I'm just looking at stills of The Reader. How is that a movie that people liked? Look at it. I fucking hate it so much.
I think it may have been up for Best Picture.
You know the only movie that I can think of?
For Best Picture?
Yeah, it absolutely was. Okay. That's the only reason why I saw it. English Patient. That's the only one that's worse.
I did not like that movie. Did not like.
Like I wish that it was a group of people. I wish that those kinds of movies were like a race of people. Mm. And then I would just be an open bigot and I would kill them.
Oh.
And I think there'd be a lot of people on my side. Like let's round up The English Patient and Out of Africa and The Reader. Let's round them all up and just get rid of them.
It would be like ISIS, where like the community, the local community doesn't like outwardly support them, but they're not upset that they're around.
Do you think people actually like these movies?
Oh, sure.
I don't know if they actually do. I think they're supposed to.
I think they're supposed to. Yeah. Like, this movie I should like.
Now, is that really arrogant on my part to think that?
Well, that's every movie that I like. I make sure there's good reviews or that someone else I respect likes it.
I feel like there's no way that anyone could actually honestly enjoy, like if we were to like hook up little electrodes to their brain,
like the pleasure centers in there,
and see what they're actually getting out of The English Patient. I don't think that there's a single person other than maybe the director's mom that would like this movie.
Yeah, and she has dementia.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really didn't like The English Patient. I can't speak to that one at all. I disliked that film.
Seinfeld did a whole episode on how horrible it was.
Oh, they did? I remember that.
Yeah. You don't remember much about good stuff.
Number two for me. Ready for my number two?
Anthony Minghella. You should be ashamed of yourself. Go ahead. Number two.
As I was mentioning, as my movies get longer, they also become movies I actually kind of want to see, but that makes sense because if I haven't seen them thus far, that must mean they really feel like homework. You know what I mean? Like a movie like Dr. Zhivago, I don't have a big interest in seeing,
right?
But it feels like homework. A movie like Gone with the Wind from 1939, I kind of want to see, but I don't know if I want to devote the 4 hours, that's just shy of 4 hours, 234 minutes, including intermission, overture, and credits that it takes to watch Gone with the Wind from 1939.
I don't really have much to give you here, buddy, because if you remember my story, I saw Wind with the Gone.
Mm. Oh, you watched it backwards?
I watched it backwards.
Oh.
I got my two discs in the mail from the old Fuck Flicks years and years and years ago, and I popped in the first one. You couldn't tell. I mean, they're both their own independent movies.
Standalone
it wasn't
stories.
Until I popped in the first one and I saw the opening credits. I'm like, wait, what? Why is Tara still? What? What's going on? Why is she still then? They're over there still? What? It was very, very upsetting. I realized
cold sweat.
2.5 hours of my life was just committed. And I'm like, I'm not going back and watching that again. I'm not doing it.
So Gone with the Wind.
Wind with a Gun.
Directed by Victor Fleming, starring Clark Gable, Vivian Leigh, Leslie Howard. What percentage of our audience do you think has seen Gone with the Wind?
25, 30.
Yeah, I'd go lower than that, but I think it's
I think that we have film lovers that listen to our show, and I think a lot of them have put in the effort and the work to watch it, or they've been to film school where they make you watch it.
Logan, do you have to watch this film school?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Fortunately, a lot of these movies that feel like homework that you have to watch in film school,
but you got to watch them for
you
homework.
Get to watch them in an auditorium, so it's like seeing them in the theater.
That's a good point.
It's a lot more engaging,
and you're
that
kind
way.
Of thinking about certain things and taking notes on things. It's like an active watch.
You're studying them,
right? So they don't seem as long when you're actually
ironically,
sitting in class watching them.
My
when it is homework, it feels less like homework.
That's ironic and true. Good point, Brian. My problem with Gone with the Wind, Scarlett was such a bitch. I did not care for her at all, much like I didn't care for Lawrence.
T.E. Lawrence.
Why do you do that? Is it just because you want everyone to know that you know the full name? Is that why?
It's the same initials as my daughter.
Is that what's going on?
T.E. Bishop.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, you gave me some shit about the name Atticus for my child.
It's a hipster name. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad name.
Okay, well. What would you say Tessa Elizabeth is?
I don't think it's a hipster
something
name at all.
No, not a hipster name. No, it's something that Lawrence might name his child.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just started. That's a good call. There was a hipster ice cream Tessa place across from dinner tonight.
Tessa Elizabeth plays a clarinet.
And, she might, God willing.
She studies...
she's got a scholarship.
Studies Latin, French. She's like, oh, no, never go in there. I never...
Yes. Well,
she's gonna have a British accent by the time she's three.
She'll have a mid-Atlantic accent. I do declare.
No,
no,
Tessa Elizabeth. That's what's already going on inside of her head.
A spoonful of sugar.
All right, here we go.
There was a hipster ice cream shop that you went to today. What was
that's
it called?
That's not important.
What was it called?
It's called Atticus, because that's Atticus? The name of my child.
All it right? had a mustache. It had a waxy mustache.
It did, and that was upsetting. Now, my child didn't have a mustache. It was the fucking logo. I love how these companies are just saying, hey, we're hipster over here. See the mustache? Hipster, hipster.
Gone with the Wind, nominated for 13 Oscars, won 8, including Best Picture. What?
I just realized what dicks we are. Yeah. We're going on and on about these fucking movies being so long. It feels like homework. We're probably doing the longest episode we've ever done.
Top 5 episodes that feel like homework. This one. Oh, good stuff. This is insane. It earned $198 million at the time in 1939. That is the number one all-time earning movie when adjusted for inflation. Anderson, $1.7 billion for Gone with the Wind by adjusted for inflation.
That would be the number one movie ever?
It is the number one most highest earning movie ever adjusted for inflation.
I heard that.
It upsets me
what
so...
What if you adjusted it for... deflation. Adjusted it for taste.
Oh, Well, like I've never seen it. Well, it's half a joke, so it's one joke.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Gone with the Wind.
Full joke.
Here's the problem. The problem with adjusting for inflation. There are so many other factors than just
like taste.
Inflation doesn't rise at a steady pace like coral grows. Tickets sold. I want asses in seats.
Yeah,
I want
true.
Tickets.
I agree.
Tickets. It's a 1-to-1 apples to apples. I don't want adjusted for inflation. The ticket prices don't rise at a steady pace.
Let's move on. But you're right. Absolutely. It should be tickets. It should be turnstiles.
Tickets sold. Asses and
turnstiles. Turnstiles. It should be population.
Number two.
Absolutely correct.
Number two for you.
Because you gotta take into account too, like senior citizens or like half
day
military.
The whole 3D thing. The whole 3D thing is throwing it all off because that's like a $25 ticket now at some places.
Asses and seats. Does that exist anywhere? It must, right?
No, I cannot find it. Mm-hmm. I cannot find it.
Number
insane.
Two for me.
Insane.
1987, a little film by a man named Bernardo Bertolucci. Bernardo Bertolucci. He made a movie that was 2 hours and 43 minutes long. From all accounts, it's an hour and 43 minutes too long. It's called The Last Emperor. Winner of Best Picture in 1987. This is starring one John Lone, Joan Chen, and one Peter O'Toole. Peter O'Toole.
Oh, that's right. O'Toole's back.
Yeah, O'Toole, not a fan. I'm not a fan of the old tool. Remember how angry I was when he won
the Oscar, the honorary
ago,
Oscar or whatever it was?
That they're going to bring his urn up, and I'm like, he's still alive? What?
Get off!
The Last Emperor, 1987. Like I said, directed by Bernardo Bertolucci. The story of a final emperor of China. The story of the final emperor of China. By all accounts, it's a glorious film. It just feels like a fucking slog. 2 hours, 43 minutes. Plus, you know what? All these white fucks in this movie. Actually, there's a lot of Asians. Mm-hmm. I should see this movie.
Is it whitewashed a little bit?
I like Bernardo Bertolucci. Bertolucci. He made The Last Tango in Paris, as many people probably know him for. He also did one, Stealing Beauty, which I actually really liked, 1996. That was with Aerosmith's daughter. Liv Tyler, thank you. You ever see that?
No, but I'm aware of it.
Let me write it down. Stealing Beauty, write it down. That's only 2 hours and 58 minutes. Not bad. And then he made one, The Dreamers, which was like about threesomes and sexuality. Never saw it, but it actually looked really interesting. Michael Pitt starring in that one with Eva Green.
Eva Green's a hot piece of...
Brian.
I can't think about women that way
you're
anymore.
You're a dad.
That's someone's daughter.
Love that Michael
That's
Pitt,
someone's
though.
Daughter.
Love that Michael Pitt. You get to see Michael Pitt get beat off in A Big and Angry Rich. You realize that? You ever see that movie?
I did see it. It made me watch it. I liked it. I liked it a little bit.
He's in the bathtub. Gets beat off by Hedwig. Hedwig beats him off.
Interesting.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes. Bernardo Bertolucci's The Last Emperor. That's a movie that I really should see. I wish that I had all of these under my belt. I really wish that I'd seen all of these and they're all in my past. Mm. But and you know what? I will one day watch these, except for maybe out of Africa. Fuck. But yeah, Last Emperor, 1987. The last Best Picture winner I have not seen. I've seen every single, obviously, not only every Best Picture winner, but most that have been nominated since then.
The last one I haven't seen is Crash. Never got around to it.
It's a Brian movie. You'd probably like... Actually, no, I could see you nitpicking and having a problem. Biggest problem with Crash, I've said it before, not Cronenberg's Crash, but the... what's his name? Who did the Crash?
Oh,
Who did the Crash?
No, I'm forgetting,
He became huge in the TV world or after... anyways, it was... We both live in L.A., and the amount of coincidences that would have had to have happened for the story to unfold were so... They were beyond comic book outlandish.
That's what I heard. It was melodramatic to the highest order.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Paul Haggis.
There you go. Coming up next, our number one, Spustle Gambling. I live inside my head.
I'd rather shut the blinds than go outside. If my heart's a door, I'll keep it closed forevermore. We'll knock, but you will never come inside.
Ryan.
Yeah, buddy.
Ever heard of Crooked Kingdom?
I have, actually.
What do you know about Crooked Kingdom?
It got really. It's a novel.
It's a novel.
Yes. Yeah. It's
you know a thing or two about a thing or two when you're talking about novels, because God, this hurts to say, but you are a New York Times bestseller author yourself.
Oh, much like Leigh Bardugo, author of Crooked Kingdom, we're both New York Times bestsellers. We have an actual special handshake.
You got to read the sniff. It says sniff right there. There you go.
He's actually number one New York Times bestselling author, so he's got that over me. Coincidentally, published with the exact same publisher as me, Macmillan. Macmillan published
Enough about
my
you.
Tome.
More about and Crooked Kingdom.
Well, obviously, my point is Macmillan knows good books.
This is for like the folks that like the Harry Potter over there that grew up with Harry Potter. This is like for a little graduation. It's like Harry Potter meets Game of Thrones, is from what I'm hearing.
This is the LA Times said. There's an actual quote: Harry Potter meets Game of Thrones. If you like those things, check it out. Publishers Weekly actually gave it a starred review and said, "This has all the right elements to keep readers enthralled. A cunning leader with a plan for every occasion, nigh impossible odds, and an entertainingly combative team of skilled misfits, a twisty plot, and a nerve-wracking cliffhanger," says Publishers Weekly.
So we're talking about Crooked Kingdom, which is actually the continuation from Six of Crows, which was the one that came before it. And New York Times bestseller, USA Today bestseller, and New York Times notable book of the year. Readers are hooked and dying for more, they say.
Okay. Learn more about Crooked Kingdom, you guys, and all the Grisha novels at Leigh Bardugo. Leigh is spelled L-E-I-G-H. It's LeighBardugo.com. ZipRecruiter.com.
ZipRecruiter. Yeah, I gotta hire.
Are you hiring?
I gotta hire.
You knew what I was gonna ask.
I'm about to hire.
Are you hiring?
I have to hire soon.
You're gonna have to employ people.
I got a bunch of people that I've already promised jobs to, but I got to fill in the gaps too.
It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be like you have this this money you're raising from your groupers crowdfunding campaign, groupersmovie.com, and now you're gonna have to use some of that as budget to hire. What are some of the positions one who is making a film might need to hire?
Oh, you got to hire all sorts of people. You need an AD. You need your second AD, who's like does a lot of work in the offices and into the paperwork. You're gonna need. There's a whole team of people that you're going to need to fill out an office just to get permits going. And I'm going to need to fill all these positions in whatever city that I end up shooting the thing
right.
at. And ZipRecruiter is honestly something I'm going to use.
Because you're not going to want to go to like literally dozens of different sites, you know, film specific or whatever.
No, that's the thing. That's the beauty of ZipRecruiter is that it compiles them all together. Yeah. So you just a few clicks
post
and then it goes out to all.
Post to one goes to all.
Right.
Go to ZipRecruiter.com now. Use us. Excuse me. Guys, go to ZipRecruiter.com/TFV, and you can post jobs for free if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/TFV. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TFV.
I know I will be.
Bow, bow. Yeah. Welcome back. I like this, actually. Who is this?
It's a band called The Shakers.
Are they new?
No. They've been around for a while. I think it's been a while since I played them, though.
I was going to say, it sounds new. It sounds new to me. I like The Shakers.
Sorry, Shakers.
Oh,
sorry.
No. I've cursed you with my appreciation and enjoyment. My number one, Anderson. My movies have gone from have gotten longer and more desirable to be seen by me. In fact, my number one, I actually started to watch.
More desirable?
Yeah. Because what I'm saying is...
Wait, what? You're doing it backwards.
No, not at all. Because
the more the homework, the higher the ranking.
But think about the logic this way. Put your phone down. Think about the logic this way.
I'm looking at my pick.
If it's a movie I really want to see and I haven't seen it because it feels like homework, it must be really, really feel like homework because I want to see it and yet I have put it off this far.
Okay, all right.
See what I'm saying?
All right.
Number one.
What's your number one?
Speaking of...
Have I seen it?
Possibly. Probably... It's never come up though. So either you don't like it or you haven't seen it.
Get ready
it
for
is,
a lot of silence if I have not.
It is quite a commitment. Mm. Speaking of discs.
Mm.
It's 769 minutes, almost 13 hours so far.
Fuck.
For the 7-Up series.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was all about the 7-Up.
I really
series.
Wanted to see this. I started to
Which
watch it, and the
really
first one
movie.
Is so dull.
It's not really.
They've
it's
become
a collection of movies.
They've become movies.
Yeah. They're episodes.
I think most people, I might think most people don't know what this is.
But when they started letting go of and not catching up with certain storylines, I'm like, it's not complete. I don't want to get all
people
hung up.
Don't want to, I think didn't want to be associated.
Right. So that bothers me a lot.
Seven Up, you guys, was a documentary from 1964, a BBC-like documentary, a British documentary directed by Michael Almond about a bunch of kids, seven-year-old kids. Seven Up is the name of the film, and they're all 7 years old, and they're all being interviewed in the schoolyard about their hopes and their dreams.
Right.
And it is fucking dull. I wanted so badly to watch it
It's also done like on the old Super 16, and it's, it looks very, like it's of its time.
The Simpsons did a great parody of this, by the way.
They did. They really did. And it's almost like it's in the zeitgeist for like NPR, hipster, or people that really know a lot about movies and study film.
Now, the cool hook about this, the reason I want to see it, is because starting in 1964 with the film 7-Up, the filmmakers released a new documentary
every seven years,
catching up with the same group of kids as they went into adolescence and young adulthood and adulthood and on and on and on. The second film was called 7 plus 7, then 14 up, then 21 up, then 28 up, 35, 42.
The last one's called Dead
50,
Up.
called Digging Them Up. It is the parts 2 and on, and were directed by Michael Apted, and they come out every 7 years. The last one came out in 2012. I think that was 56 up. And this sounds super compelling. That said, I can't get over the first hump.
Plus, we've got Boyhood now.
Yeah, I know. This is like an early genesis of Boyhood.
We can just watch Boyhood.
Yeah.
The reason, honestly, the reason why, because my brother told me all about this.
How fascinating
way back
sound?
When, years, probably 8 years ago now, so I would have had a whole two new ones. And I was all about it, and the more he told me about it, the more compelled I got.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the point where I learned that they just let certain...
Well, I think certain characters wanted to be left alone.
Just are kind of like fall off, right, and they don't really even address it. I became way less interested as the completest.
Yeah, but I think certain ones didn't want to be.
That's not the point,
anymore.
Brian. Yes, whatever the reason is, that's the reason why I became less enthralled. It's not like, oh, because they didn't want to be a part of it. Oh, that's fine then. No, it's just the fact that they're not.
Oh, they couldn't be for whatever reason. Okay.
All right. Yeah. My number one. Good choice, Brian.
13 hours.
I don't know if you can call 13 it 13 hours.
Thus far.
That's like saying Godfather is 7 hours.
I know. Well, the Godfather epic is. But that's it. I know what you're saying. But 7 is a film series I've always wanted to explore and jump into and kind of live in that world for a little bit. But holy moly, man, that is a commitment. And like I said, I tried. And then the first one was just rough.
Number one for me, Bri. Keep in mind, when you're trying to get clever and cute,
okay. I don't try,
because I will go down with the ship, and I will watch this with you.
Or cute.
If you're gonna suffer, I will suffer. We'll both suffer, Brian. I will hold your hand as I'm falling off the cliff.
Let's hear it. Don't say Empire.
Number one for me.
Don't say Empire.
1985.
Don't say Empire.
A man named Claude Lanzmann.
Okay.
Claude Lanzmann.
Is this Showa?
Lanzmann made a film called Showa.
Oh, Showa! No, not Showa.
Showa, Brian.
Oh boy.
Showa, Brian.
Roger Ebert reviewed this.
Claude.
And it was,
Lanzmann's epic documentary recounts the story of Holocaust through interviews with not only witnesses, but perpetrators and survivors.
It recounts the Holocaust in real time.
That's not fun. This brings in a scant 9 hours and 26 minutes.
Holy moly.
You will spend a full working day plus an hour and 26
plus
minutes.
Plus overtime.
If you continue to toil, Brian. Now, this is a movie that I wish,
Showa,
much like Andy Warhol's Empire,
right,
which is, I think, 24 hours, right? I wish
it's
I had seen...
Like that,
actually, no.
I thought it was 10 hours.
Fuck that. I just saw a documentary called Danny Says, which is all about the music scene in the mid-1960s. And, you know, a lot of it was Velvet Underground. And I don't know if it's occurred to me before I've even said it or made the connection. But Andy Warhol and his people, as much as I like Andy Warhol... they were the original hipsters. They really were.
Yes.
And their whole thing was just fucking, your whole thing is just watching something else. That's what you are, is you're just watching. Like that's the coolest. The way to be the coolest thing is just to be watching something else. Don't be it. Just watch it. Just watch it unfold, man. I guess Andy Warhol get really upset because a woman was on drugs. She was trying to hurl herself out the window, and Danny gets up. This music guy gets up, and he saves her, and Andy Warhol's like, it's a real bummer, man. We were all hoping she'd fall, man. Anyways, he's got a movie called Empire, and it's just the Empire State Building, static shot, 24 hours. And they show it.
It's 6.5 hours.
I think there is a 24-hour version,
But the running time day. Is listed as 485 minutes.
And they show it every now. I think once a year they show it in New York. It's like a rite of passage, and people go and see it. And then they come out, and they're like, I saw it. I don't want to see that. But Showa, I bet it's really powerful, compelling stuff. And just coming in at the 9 hours and what, 46, 26? 9 hours and 26
don't
minutes.
Don't cheat it.
Yeah, that would be a little feather in the cap. I'd like to say that.
To say you've seen Showa?
Showa,
you brag about that?
How many? Well, I bet less than 1% of our audience has seen Showa.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet less than 1%.
Tweet us. If you've seen the entirety of Showa. Entirety. Would you like to hear, Anderson, before we get into also-rans and listener top five, would you like to hear the top eight films adjusted for ticket price inflation?
I don't really know how it connects to this episode, but sure. Feel free. If you've done the work, let's do it.
Number eight was Dr. Zhivago. That clocks in over $1 billion. Number seven, Jaws. Number six, The Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Number five, Titanic. Number eight,
mispronounce it.
E.T. That's T.E. backwards. Number three, The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Number two, Star Wars. Uh-huh. Number one, Gone with the Wind. The eight films that have grossed over $1 billion.
I got to tell you, Wind with the Gone worked as well. And I don't know what that says about the movie, but it worked in that order. It was still effective, and it's still a good movie.
The Exorcist just outside it.
Oh, really?
$950 million. Followed by Snow White and Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. And where does Avatar reign in?
Avatar's number 15.
It's too high.
Because keep in mind, they're adjusting it to, hold on a second, average ticket price of $8.66. So they're bringing down newer movies and bringing up older movies to that
understand how it works, Brian. Thank you for the math lesson.
I'm just saying.
You know, what if they could adjust it, though, for taste?
You know what? Stop it. You know what the strangest one is for me that was involved in the top number 12? 101 Dalmatians. I never assumed that was that popular of a movie.
I could see that.
Not one of the most celebrated Disney films.
Disney's like hard to gauge because they're so spotty and they're so throughout and they're so important. He's got more nominations than anybody else. More Disney. Academy Award nominations.
Oh, because he was listed as producer for
movie that came out of Disney for a number of years. Like I think he's got like 39 nominations.
He probably does.
Crazy like
that makes nice total sense.
You know what number two is?
What is that?
You'll never know.
Wow. All right, do you want to hear the listener top five? Logan, what movies feel like homework to our listeners?
John Williams. Right, number five, we have 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, I can see
that. That would seem like homework.
I can see that.
Seemed like homework to me at one point, too.
I will say at 2001, for you guys who are holding out, it is very memorable. I don't know how
it's memorable, but you will say, wow, this really does feel like homework. There will be plenty of times.
Tedious.
Yes.
And also,
that's the point.
It's also one of those movies that you'll recognize so many things from pop culture. Like, oh, well, that's where that comes from. Oh, that's where that comes from.
And you have to understand, too, and it is kind of easier than it is to do with Citizen Kane. You can kind of go back to a place where space on film did not exist. None of this stuff existed. Just wipe your mind of everything that you've seen.
Everything was planned in Knives Matter Space.
And like, you could see like the fishing lures. Like, this is the first thing that looked like it was actually in space. And it's hard to do that with Citizen Kane because of the structure and because of the deep focus and what he was doing with the camera and whatnot. That's harder to wrap your mind around. But 2001, just imagine nothing. You've never seen anything in space and watch that movie. And what it meant.
Number 4 is The Godfather.
No, guys, that's an enjoyable movie. Please don't.
We got a lot of younger.
Don't sleep on that.
My wife's never seen him.
Yeah, but it's your wife. This is not someone. She doesn't subscribe to a film podcast.
She's married to one.
She doesn't vote in a film.
Oh, sorry, I had the order wrong. So that was 4 and 3. Okay. Number 5 is actually Lawrence of Arabia.
Fired. No, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
That is homework, guys.
Please don't blame.
Number 2, Citizen Kane.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. Yeah.
You should probably see it if you're a film lover.
I had to watch it, five times.
So it literally was homework.
Brutal.
5 times.
And the number one film that feels like homework, as voted on by our listeners, is Schindler's List.
Yeah, we take it for granted because it was in our lifetimes. But if you're born in, the
90s. Yeah, I think we do have a younger skewing audience, and that makes sense. Guys, it's actually a very good movie. Yeah. It really is. Ralph Fiennes is a great, great villain. He's a really hateable villain. And Schindler, it's a good movie. It really is. Don't let Jerry, once again, Seinfeld. But Seinfeld had that whole episode where they're so bored that they started making out and then they got caught. Yeah.
In a weird way, I would actually like to go back and watch Schindler's List again because I haven't seen it since it was in theaters. And I was 14 or whatever I was, something like that. And I'd like to see it again. It's a good movie, and that they get more out of it now.
And it's kind of legendary on this show because it was a guest's number one pick and maybe the most offensive thing ever said on the show. I ran into him a few weeks ago. Yeah. I see him at screenings now and again. And
he's trying to bring back Film Threat.
He was with a girl.
What?
And I'm really good at making things uncomfortable and putting my foot in my mouth. So I'm like, hey, good to see you, Chris.
Remember that time?
And I'm like, I don't want to say it. And he's like, no, what? I'm like, I don't want to say it. And then his girlfriend's like, oh, what? I'm like, he did the most offensive thing I ever said. We were doing like top five.
Guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures. And his number one was Schindler's List because he likes skinny girls. And it just got real quiet. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
At least skinny?
She was thin. Yeah. And then the screening started, and I'm like, all right, sorry.
All right, good talking to you.
And I'm sitting right next to him. The lights go down, and Civil War comes on. It's a true story.
Well, to be fair, they both asked.
Yes. Let's go.
All right. Want to gamble? I don't want to do any All-Stars. I don't want to do any All-Stars unless you want to. Because
I have no interest in because I don't need your arsenal.
Oh, stop
Let me rattle off some of the more common ones voted on by our listeners. Then.
Yeah, please.
We've got Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Casablanca.
Yeah. And you've seen it, right?
I don't understand the allure. I really don't. I don't get that movie. So dull.
I have the worst of both worlds of that movie because I had never seen it a few years ago. And then remember CineSpace here in Hollywood?
Yep.
CineSpace is a cool place that used to have dinner and a movie, like a cool dinner with like not in a theater, but like a little bit of a, it's a de facto theater. They turned their dining room into a theater.
Hipster.
It was very hipster, but they were doing Casablanca on Valentine's Day.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, this is great. I was with my girlfriend at the time. I'll go watch Casablanca and I'll see what that's all is all about. I can knock it out two birds with one stone. Right. Sat in the front, very front, which is awesome because it was no one in front of us. But the speaker that was right above us was out. It was like over, it was like blown out.
Right.
So all we heard for dialogue was, like it was awful. I couldn't understand a word.
Might have made it better.
And it might have been a better. I feel like I got the idea, but I did not really see it.
You know, another
film.
Movie that's kind of the same vein.
I don't want to go back and watch it again.
Doesn't get nearly as much love as Casablanca, but African Queen, I just could not wait for it to end. I hated it.
Bogey.
But then again, you see like Treasure of Sierra Madre, same actor, fucking phenomenal. A phenomenal film.
Others, Logan?
Some other ones we got, Seven Samurai.
Yeah, it's really good. Check it out. Do yourself a favor. Watch that instead of the new Magnificent.
12 Angry Men.
No.
Yeah.
Dive in.
You know how many times I hear people say that they thought that was homework. This is like Logan and I were talking a couple weeks ago about Singing in the Rain and like how you think you're not going to like it. And then you're like, oh my God, it's washing over me. 12 Angry Men. You will be riveted and you'll be so proud of yourself to be completely hooked into this old black and white movie. Watch 12 Angry Men. It's fucking great.
I'm still riveted. I'm still rattled by the fact that Godfather is on the list.
Just this past weekend, I was flipping channels and 12 Angry Men was on one of the movie channels. And I sat and watched about an hour of it.
Had you seen
it? So compelling.
Had you seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it before.
Another one that's kind of in the same vein is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Great movie.
Yes.
So great. And you
a
get
little hokey
fully,
or not quite as compelling.
You give it a break because of the time.
Yes.
And you get pulled in and you're like, yeah, Mr. Smith, give him
hell. Get him.
Yeah.
Also got Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Yeah, that's
5 hours, 40 minutes.
Hefty.
A more modern one is 12 Years a Slave.
Again,
mainly because you got to be in the right mindset for that.
There's never
a right mindset for that.
It's
not a fun movie.
It's a great movie, but not a fun
great
movie.
Another modern one, Spotlight, and I'll cap it off with Lost in Translation.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that it was still homework for me.
You're not going to gain much.
People love it. People love it.
It's
you got to really love Bill Murray.
But holy moly, I don't want to go back and watch that.
Really?
I thought you loved it. I liked it, but that's why we had a list a long time ago called Top
movies
5
you're glad
Good Movies.
You saw once. You
no, Top 5 Good Movies You Never Want to See Again. That's on my list. I don't want to see Lost Translation again.
All right, let's do this.
All right, last week you gambled, or 2 weeks ago, you gambled on Snowden.
Oh, that's right.
And it was close.
It was close to the end of the
show.
Oh, man,
I'm not prepared.
Why?
Because I was supposed to have a movie ready for you.
Oh, Logan.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I know, but I forgot that it was a tie because we haven't talked about gambling.
Fired.
You know what? Why don't you take it?
I'm just going to, I have some old tweets from the last time when I asked for listener suggestions. I'm going to pull one from there.
Okay.
Let us
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 48% and both you bid 54. Currently, 2 weeks after its release, and at one point it did reach 54%.
At one point, it was at 53, and then it was at 55.
We made a promise to ourselves and the listeners years ago that if we ever both guessed the same Rotten Tomatoes score and it actually landed on that, the show would end forever.
Yep.
All right. Well, currently, 2 weeks after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Snowden is 62%.
Mm. Is he Snowden?
Oh, I was thinking you were assigned.
Did you? No.
No, it's banned.
Really?
I don't need Oliver Stone telling me about his thoughts on Snowden. No. I saw Citizen Four and was completely underwhelmed. I don't need to see a dramatized version, which is going to be total bullshit.
I kind of want to see a dramatized version because Citizen Four was so fucking boring.
But you know it's all bullshit. And you know you're getting it spoon-fed.
Yeah, but at least I'm seeing
it. You know what I watched? A scene of John Candy's scene in JFK a couple nights ago. It's just, it's comical.
He's a little over the top.
A little. It's okay when he's trying to be over the top, like with Natural Born Killers. But what happened? He was like so spot on with Platoon. What happened?
I actually love JFK. There's some stuff in there that's a little much, but the overall ooze.
I don't know. He's like smoking a cigarette. I don't know, Daddy-O. That's not my bag. I'm John Candy. Isn't this crazy? But I'm playing a different character you've never seen before, man. This is what we call stunt casting. It was actual line that he said in the movie.
That's weird. They surprisingly didn't cut that. It feels like it was extra, not necessary for the
film. Like, I'm going to die soon. And he's like, wow, how does he know?
He's trying to signal us the whole time. I should mention we're not going to do too many also rants, but I should mention that Matt Fondelier, Adam Carolla's assistant, and overall
talking good, about right
he's
now,
a good dude.
Happening?
The listeners of the Carolla Show know who he is. He's a good guy. Right. Film buff. He hosts his own film podcast called.
What are we doing?
I don't know what it's called.
What God's fuck are we doing?
But I went on and on about how The Right Stuff felt like homework, and I just could I was interested.
I was dragged to it by my dad when I was a kid, and fuck, it was homework as a child.
Fondelier comes up to me and says, I heard you talking about Right Stuff. It's one of my favorite movies. Here's my copy. You can borrow it. That was about 8 months ago, and it's sitting next to my DVD player. Mm-hmm. So apologies to Matt and everyone who wants me to see that movie.
Thanks for that story. It was great. Really,
I'll buy Logan some time.
Can we? What are we doing? We're buying time for Logan.
Let's gamble on this week's while I'm doing this.
Do that. Okay.
All right. This week you're going to be gambling on Deepwater Horizon.
Have you seen this?
It's bad. It really is bad. Abandoned.
I actually am at a real disadvantage here because I haven't heard anything. I don't think I've even seen any commercials for it. Yeah. Like, I'm aware of it, but I don't think I've seen any spots.
Mm. Shit. It looks very good.
It looks very good.
It's a front runner. They say if the Oscars were to happen right now, it would be in the lead. They said P. Berg has directed like he's never directed before. Marky Mark.
Okay, I have a number.
So do I.
What's yours?
I'm going with last week's number.
54?
Yeah.
I went lower. I went Ronnie Lott. 42.
54.
I think it'll be bad, but I think it'll deliver what people kind of expect.
All right. Well, currently, the week before its
you
release.
You always do that, and you're never served right.
I am totally wrong.
57 reviews. The Rotten Tomato score for Deepwater Horizon is 82%.
It could come down by half.
Sweet.
Jesus
Christ. Right. I think I got a movie for you guys. Have both of you not seen Black Dynamite? I know one of you haven't.
I have not seen Black Dynamite.
I've seen it.
Okay, Brian, you have to see Black Dynamite.
Damn it.
What was the one that... Oh, man, Anderson, you're tougher every time I have to assign a movie.
You know what? DuckUsucker, because I've wanted to see that, and I've seen chunks of it, and I've seen bits of it. DuckUsucker.
But I haven't seen it.
But it's a film that I...
Was it you that hasn't seen Bugs Life, or was that Brian?
That's Brian.
I've not seen Bugs Life.
Come on. All kinds of good movies for Brian.
We have a whole list of movies Anderson hasn't seen.
Stop it, Brian.
He just gave it to us.
I literally, and I hate to be violent, but I literally just had the impulse to strike you. I really did.
Thank you for bridling yourself.
All right. You know, the show's got to end.
What was it? DuckUsuckers?
Look, why don't you think about it? Reveal it on the next episode.
All right.
Anderson, yeah, give
yourself
some time.
Send me a random text, I guess. But DuckUsucker is a great one.
I'll text you in the middle of the week. I'll text you tomorrow.
DuckUsucker. Sergio Leone's DuckUsucker. DuckUsucker is supposed to be so fucked up. 2 hours, 37 minutes, too. Ah, fuck. It's homework. That could have been on my list today.
Why don't you assign us to go see Snowden together?
I've seen parts of DuckUsucker.
I haven't seen Snowden, though, either.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Thanks, guys, for listening. And thank you again for all the people who sent well wishes and tweets and Instagram posts. And some people actually sent actual gifts, which is amazing. Thanks to everyone who came out to the live show in Chicago, the Carl Show, and said, hey, more film ball, we have t-shirts and such. We'll get them. Thank you guys for showing up and showing out. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go to check out the fan art. This week's fan art is from Patrick N. Let me see the fan. We got a new fan art, by the way, at Facebook. I don't know if you saw it or not. People sent it to us over the old Facebook
Right. What is that? What's happening? Le Bald One Rogue.
Rouge. Is that like the red balloon?
The red balloon.
Yeah. Oh, Le Bald One Rouge.
Like the red balloon.
Like the balloon rouge. Like,
oh, I see. Yeah,
is Baldwin close to like balloon in French?
No.
Baldwin, balloon, balloon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like
Very clever. Thank you, Frank. Patrick N. I've not seen the red balloon.
Shocking, Brian.
Should I?
Yeah, you should, actually. I saw it drunk when I was a while ago, and I'm like, how do they make it control the balloon? It's amazing. It's fucking amazing, man.
Thanks to our featured artist this week, Janice 414, Crash Kit, Gloria's Fold, Manatee, The Shakers, and FM Pilots. Thanks, you guys, for being our feature artists. If you'd like to be a feature artist, Anderson and Brian, where you go. And that's where you go to check out the fan art, to submit your fan art, if you'd like to do that. Check out a list of all the films we discussed. Thanks, you guys, for clicking on the Amazon banner. We appreciate it. If you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, there's a banner up there. You just click on it, and it costs you nothing and drops us a few pennies off of your purchase. So thank you very much.
Groupersofmovie.com.
That's right.
As of right now, we're at 34%, I think. And everybody, thanks so much for making it so far so good. We're on track, it looks like. Yep. So I'm
come see a movie with us.
Do like a heartfelt pitch. I will do that if I really start to feel desperate. But if you feel like you've ever gotten any service out of the show, or if Brian or I have saved you a few bucks by steering you right or showing you a movie that you might not have. Even if it's just a couple bucks, just every bit counts, and we got to get to that point so that I can actually make this thing. Give me a shot.
Do it. Groupersmovie.com. Give a little donation there. They're not donation. They're funding. They shouldn't say donation. They're funding.
No, I didn't say donation. I contribution. Said it.
I'm correcting myself.
It's funding, and you get something for it. I think there's always something for it.
Check us out, The Film Vault, on Facebook and Twitter. And until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh. Soaking in yesterday. I'm